never forget the first moment when I walked into a cinema. I was hooked from there on.
Hello and welcome to the 68 Skin On podcast. And Philip jumped as if he wasn't expecting that.
I'm not awake.
We're back for the first one of 2016.
Wow. It's been a while.
Yeah, so
where the hell have you been?
It took an entire month for us to get into 2016. Not a lot has happened, really.
No.
It's going to be a very quick one. In fact, I think we should just wrap it up now. All right, bye.
So we'll start off as per usual with what we've been watching recently. And since it's been a month, I'm limiting this.
No more than 16, Darren.
In rapid fire succession.
Do you want to start, Darren?
Oh, fine. I watched the King's Speech because it was on my sister's Leaving Cert course. And that's
on the Leaving Cert?
Yeah, it is. It's great, isn't it? It's for any international listeners, Leaving Cert is our end of secondary school exam system, where you do comparative texts and stuff, and occasionally they put films on it.
For years.
I have been in education at Leaving Cert level for quite some time, Phil.
Leaving Cert is like the A-levels or GCSE, baccalaureate.
Yeah, and so you do a
comparative
thing.
Did you ever have good films on?
Cinema Paradiso. I watched Cinema Paradiso.
I'll repeat my question.
Oh, hey!
Isn't that a card game, baccarat?
No, baccalaureate.
Oh, Mr. Bond, we play baccarat again.
No.
If you leave school and you get your baccarat, I think you're okay.
Yeah.
I love my baccarat.
Oh, God. Why do I do to go down these?
The
King's Speech is on the Leaving Cert. The Social Network should be on the Leaving Cert.
The Social Network also contains boobs.
Is this just to calm the students down before the Leaving Cert? Is this just make them relax, you know?
I can't understand that. But King's Speech,
come on.
All the modern films to pick as well, because like you assume picking a modern film is to go to kids. Look, it's hip and modern.
What are
and
kids
relevant.
Like?
Yeah, and
what about that one about the King?
Yeah, they like that Pride and Prejudice adaptation. So let's get the movie that has the guy from the Pride and Prejudice adaptation, and we're just sold. It really is. It's got like a nice Pride and Prejudice reunion thing going on as well. But
with James Reilly, yes.
Yeah, and with Mr. Collins as his audition guy, as his casting director.
The thing is, the ones that you'd want to aim at the kids are the ones that you kind of can't. Yeah, because you'd want to aim Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet at them, but you can't because they're actually studying.
They're actually studying the text, all the classics.
Yeah.
You know, important.
Last Exit to Brooklyn.
If you want to see, you know,
all the great
Goodfellas, you know.
Yeah.
No, if you want to see adaptation, you know, of a thing, but then you know.
Ooh, I put adaptation on.
Honor level English just drops from the number of students taking it. And his co-credit as well,
Synecdoche, New York.
That might kill the worldview a little bit, on it?
Yeah. But, incredibly bland film.
Yeah.
Which we all knew.
Yeah.
Handsomely bland, though.
Handsomely bland.
And no wonder
well
it won the Oscar.
The safest possible film you could put on there of most recent Best Picture nominees.
That's probably fair.
So sitting through it again, and it's so leaden, and it's so obvious, and it's so very patronizing in everything that it does, which is kind of like it would be a good like sixth class film.
This is directed by Tom Hooper, right?
It's not bad. I mean,
no, it's not bad. It's functional. It's clean.
It's not. And the Leaving Cert is not a film course in the sense
But I mean, The Road. Cormac McCarthy's The Road is on there as a text. Which
is it?
Great.
Wow.
They can't show the film off for obvious reasons.
Oh, God.
Sorry, teenagers like these things. Why
all the teenagers have seen them years ago. That's
yeah.
What do you think?
That's it.
It's the Leaving Cert course.
I had seen everything X-rated by the time I did
so
Leaving Cert.
You should be able to get away
so
with it.
So the Social Network will be fine because it's a 15-rated film.
Yeah,
so
but I think you'd have complaints then from parents, possibly.
It's not worth
they're already on Facebook. What are you doing with that?
Yeah. It's glamorizing money.
Which
is
are
what
sexy.
Yeah.
That's what we need to
keep doing. This is Jay, who hasn't been in education in quite some time.
I've been barred from all schools for many reasons.
mostly the sex thing.
About the social
chatting
network.
And whatnot. Yeah.
I love to Zucker your Berg. Anyway, on that note.
God.
So that's me done, and I think next up we're going to Phil.
Me? Okay. Yes, much was watched over Christmas, New Year, whatever, but I'm going to talk about a film that I finally got around to watching just last night. What We Did in the Shadows. So just to put this in context, this is the New Zealand's vampire mockumentary comedy thing. I don't dig it.
No, didn't imagine me.
There are great things in it, mostly writer-director Taika Waititi, who plays one of the vampires. He plays this kind of dandy. And he's great. I think he creates a great character. But also in there is Jermaine Clement as another vampire, and another vampire played by somebody whose name I can't remember. All I remember was, he's annoying. And then there was the guy who looked like Nosferatu. The problem with this film is it is just over 80 minutes long and it overstays its welcome.
It feels padded out to me at 80 minutes. It feels like a series of sketches within a film.
Yeah.
And it's fine. The bits in it, I quite laughed at a couple of scenes. It worked as a whole.
But there's nothing really holding it together.
No, it's not. I agree.
Yeah.
I've seen 5-star reviews of this, by the way.
Yeah, the mind boggles. Which baffles me. Yeah, it's... There are moments in which had me guffaw.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I laughed.
But
I definitely laughed.
But they were, you know, only on their own terms. As a whole, yeah.
If you feel overlong at 80 minutes,
you're not pushing probably it a bit, yeah.
You are. You are. And
that's the thing.
It's fine. And for some people, yeah, that might be right up their alley. Just the gag rate isn't high enough to sustain it.
Agreed.
So, yeah.
Jeez, we're in full agreement, Philip. What's going on?
Things
like...
will change.
Yes, when the matches.
This does not bode well.
No, it does not.
It's like a portent.
But I feel good for it. That's a good start to New Year, Philip. Well done.
We'll see.
Yes.
Jay, what have you got?
Okay, I've got two, and because I'm cheating a little bit. One just to mention because Philip Seymour Hoffman, 2 years.
Oh,
so I watched Mary and Max last night.
You love that.
I do love it. I think it's an absolute masterpiece. I think it's a glorious horror film. But I've rattled on enough about it over the years, so I won't get into it again. But the one I want to mention, actually, which I quite enjoyed, I watched a couple of nights ago, Electric Boogaloo.
Ah.
The wild, untold story of canon films. And it's so much fun.
It is.
I mean, much like the films themselves. Yeah. If you watch them in the right mindset.
It sets a good tone for the documentary in that regard. Because you get the feeling they're missing the two main guys' input. But it even has a knowing nod to that at the end about that and how they wanted to do a documentary. They got her documentary first, which I quite like.
Yeah.
I like seeing a lot of clips of the films. I was one of those people that saw Superman 4 in the cinema when it came out.
Oh, you poor
oh
guy.
Yes, I was.
A Nuclear Man.
A Nuclear Man and the budget constraints. Oh, God, it's horrible. But it's
horrible or brilliant?
Both. It's
at the same
time.
They did
some stuff. I mean, I remember Delta Force. I remember... The first Death Wish and
the
Death Wish.
Yeah,
I mean, they did Runaway Train and Warfly.
Runaway
like
Train,
that.
Yeah, they were the kind of sneaky ones in. They got from
that's it.
Yeah, they're the exceptions proving
the
rule.
That's it. Well, they did import, and the documentary touches on that. They actually gave English language releases or sort of English cinema releases to foreign films and stuff like that. So only because they got them cheap. Not out of artistic merit.
The anti-Weinstein company.
Exactly.
They did care about films.
No.
I mean, they were like... They're like people kind of talk about them as if like they don't
they're
push terrible product out now every year in studios for 10, 20 times the budget.
Oh, but don't worry, we've got just top 10 to talk about.
Yeah,
they're doing it in a very maverick kind of way.
But they're fun and they're interesting and
their own way.
They shook it up a little bit and I enjoyed the film. It wasn't brilliant. It was very straightforward telling, but
there's a lot of
enjoyable.
Life on memories.
A good story told reasonably confidently.
I mean, it helps.
Yeah. See, I like Ron Howard.
You have a spiritual successor to them now in Bloomhouse doing that sort of thing where they're doing that, you know.
I wouldn't quite
that sort of working outside the studio
cheap cheerful knocking them out
working to an absolute budget for an absolute duration.
I don't get the sense of like, you know, I don't get the sense of Bloomhouse actually enjoying what they do.
No,
that's the difference. Like, you get the sense with Canon that, you know, at least somebody down the production line cared in some small way about what they were doing.
And I think with Canon as well, they were more of a spiritual successor to Corman.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Yeah.
And I don't think anybody's taken on that kind of outsider status.
It's the Tom Hooper.
Toby Hooper.
Could we say Megan Ellison as a kind of a...
She's like a big budget version of that.
But like bringing something different, much more of a higher quality. But as an outside perspective into Hollywood is interesting.
Yeah.
But
whereas, here's another spawn of films based on, you know, The Hills of Eyes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But I liked it. I liked the film. The documentary gave
me
a smile on my face.
Here's another sequel to Sinister. Oh, no. Yeah, I don't want this. Thank you very much.
But too bad you're getting
it. Yeah, you're getting one. Another Conjuring.
Niall.
Me. Right. So, because of the late departed Alan Rickman, I've been sort of going back over some of his films. You know, it's Die Hard. It's
The new movie, Die Hard.
It's not Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, no.
Or sense of sensibility.
I rewatched that too.
Fun watching him in a competent film.
I watched it. Okay. I had fun with it.
We'll come to Mighty Collins later on. But it's just heartbreaking. Do you think that was his first film role as well?
He was 40 odd, wasn't he?
And 41.
Just, 41, and just boom.
Fully fledged character.
He was an actor, though. Yeah. I mean, let's not say that he wasn't before.
No, no,
because he didn't walk in from insurance and start acting.
No, no, he went into graphic design and then he went into theatre acting.
He can act, though. I mean, he wasn't, he wasn't fresh off the boat going on.
But he kind of was a bit fresh off the boat.
In movie terms, yes, but let's not forget he had a
And also in terms of the US as well. Like, he was over on a tour with the Dangerous Liaisons and stuff, and
that's right.
He went to the West Coast and said, "I'm here for 3 days. If I get an audition, that's great." And he got an audition, and then he had to be convinced to take the role.
Good on him.
I wouldn't be surprised if he got the audition just for the got the role. Just if they got him to say the line, her.
That's a fair point.
And still, him making tea is the best short film ever.
Oh, dear. We had a lot of losses since.
It's been a terrible year.
Dropping like flies.
We'll move into the news with the discussion of.
It's going to be an upper today.
Of who we've lost recently.
I think we have to start with Lord Lucan.
Yeah, one of the saddest, surprising deaths.
I'm trying to keep it light, but okay, go on.
We lost David Bowie. Being the big one.
I know Darren and I will probably talk about it more from the music point of view, and we are a film podcast, damn it. But, you know, if you want to see somebody who seems tailor-made for a role, watch The Man Who Fell to Earth.
Yeah.
Trippy. But it's wonderful.
I also really liked his turn in The Prestige as well. It was a small supporting role.
I enjoy that. To play somebody like Tesla, you do need somebody who's just that little bit out there.
Oh, yeah,
the only real magician in the film.
I did like him in it, actually, in a film I didn't like at all, but I did like him in it.
Mm.
Tesla is a maniac, so...
Yeah,
and quite an enigma.
Also the
too.
Gravity as well. Yeah, he has a weird gravity in the film as well.
I presume he didn't film the kind of cameo in Zoolander 2 by any chance, did he?
I'd
love to see
his cameo in Zoolander.
It's great.
It's phenomenal.
It seemed kind of like
out of nowhere.
Perhaps I can be of assistance.
Dance. It's great.
Oh,
I'd like to see that. I'd be happy that as a little kind of nod.
I think the fact that Extras was his last role.
Extras is good. His appearance in Extras. Yeah.
I think if I did see a cameo by him in Zoolander 2, it would break me.
Yeah.
I could live with that. Breaking, you know what I mean?
And thus ends the J film detente.
It's good when it lasts. It wasn't a film. We had fun.
Oh, yes.
No, I mean, his portrayal of the Goblin King in Labyrinth is probably what he'll most be remembered cinematically. A lot of people haven't seen him in Felt Hurt. I mean,
or Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence.
Yeah, so...
They should. This is your homework now,
people. They absolutely should, but that doesn't mean that they have...
Even his artwork, like even his stuff like the Station covers from The Man Who Fell to Earth, and Low was largely composed from instrumental pieces that he'd written for it, as far as I remember.
Even if you haven't seen any of those films, look at his IMDb listing. He's over, I think, 500 credits for soundtrack contributions.
Well, yeah, I rewatched A Night's Tale. He did...
It's got Golden Years
in the middle of it, isn't
with
it?
The song he wrote for Elvis.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Apparently it's either that or Wild is the Wind that apparently the rumour is Frank Sinatra told him to keep on Station to Station.
I'd say it was probably Wild is the Wind, because that's a great version.
That's a phenomenal version.
Non-film wise, we lost Sir Terry Wogan, which was
indeed.
Yeah.
Those are Eurovision contributions. They're going to be missed.
They were missed.
Well, yeah, because it's been Graham Norton for a while now. So
yeah, but even more so now.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
Yeah,
it's just an institution. You sort of assume he'll always be there, which is again, I think the thing with many of these,
like Rickman, like Bowie, you just don't think they're going to go anywhere.
Yeah,
and then they do.
Because Rickman and Bowie were always sort of looked roughly the same.
Roughly,
age,
yes,
you know,
true. It's true.
We lost Joe Alasky just there the other day, who is the voice of Bugs Bunny.
Indeed. Very sad.
Which is, because any of our youth was built around Looney Tunes, which is just... Yeah.
Was that more of a Daffy Duck man? But anyway, that's
I would agree with that.
I love that view, the rage.
I'm a Wile E. Coyote fan myself.
I was like Wile E.
Always chasing that, but never catching
wasn't
it.
A big fan of
such
Rogan.
Is life, really. He's
yeah,
a metaphor for life.
That's it. Wile E. Coyote is life.
But remember, if you ever did catch the Roadrunner, there'd be no more Roadrunner cartoons.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
I like the Elmer Fudd one as well. He has a similar sort of...
I would have been happy with it.
Yeah, he'll never succeed.
He'll never succeed, but he's depressed about it as well, which is great. We lost Frank Finlay as well, so that was... you know, because he was great. He was underappreciated, I mean, he acted opposite Olivier, which is always going to be what he'll be remembered for if he is remembered, unfortunately.
Not enough people have seen these things. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Lost Abe... how do you pronounce it?
Who?
The guy from The Godfather?
Oh, Abe Vigoda.
Abe Vigoda.
Because we thought he'd never die.
Because, again, he's one of those things, when he's in The Godfather, he...
Yeah, but then again, that's purely because he was 94.
Yeah.
There have been many rumours about him having died
over
the years, but this time was true. Abe Vigoda's gone. That's strange to me.
It is, isn't it?
I don't like this post-Bowie, post-Vigoda world.
But more on that later.
Someone discussed the year so far as if it was written by George R. R. Martin. 2016 is the year written.
What age is George R. R. Martin? Just be careful.
He has a number of books to film.
He really wants to crack on.
I'll tell you one thing. Gene Hackman turned 86 last week. If anybody is thinking ahead, he is wrapped up somewhere in bubble wrap and put in a safe place.
Slocum turns 103 this week.
True.
One of the finest cinematographers that has ever lived.
Oh, the man in the white suit.
This week on Scan On, this year's Deadpool. Also, next week on Scan On, this year's Deadpool.
Punnage. More of that, I say.
Yeah, we're not going to go down that route. But we'll move on to somewhat better news. The Oscar noms.
Somewhat Phil better. Yay, Phil.
Phil's got to give us a 20-minute talk about how much he loves the Oscars.
But also how much he loves the response to the Oscars as well.
No, it's just... I hate to start off in rant mode, but for years I have told you people that the Oscars are pointless. And now that... It has been now that we can see that they are at least somewhat racist. Just you know, possibly
they
maybe.
Like,
I don't know
that they see it as a bad thing.
Only marginally racist.
Only just.
Statistically speaking, versus their percentage in the population, African American actors have won more Oscars than their percentage in the population.
Shut up, Helen Mirren.
No. I'm saying that if Oscar has a race problem, and it does, it's against Hispanics and Latinos. The Asian community. They are vastly...
It has a racist problem against everyone that's not white. I think that's a clear kind of issue.
My point is this, though. Now, we haven't even discussed who's actually nominated yet, but, you know...
We'll get around to it.
Everybody's heard the kerfuffle about this, and I hate to use the word kerfuffle because that kind of denigrates it a bit, but the problem is...
The very legitimate
gripe, yes. But I should just point out that the Oscars are not the problem. They are merely a symptom. Go after the studios.
Yeah.
Go after, you know, the bigger picture, people.
Yeah.
Please.
But on the other hand, the studios are largely driven by the Oscars. Like, what wins Oscars this year sets a trend for what gets a prestige picture next year.
Well, you see, this is why I keep telling you people, don't heed the Oscars.
There was
bad decisions that
way.
Your fault, listeners.
We have an Oscar-winning director who's nominated again, who is a member of a minority, and who hasn't cast minorities in his own films. He's not helping his own cause.
Well, to be fair, his last film was set... in like 18th century America with European settlers.
There was Chinese. There was a large amount of Chinese.
You've seen Deadwood, right? Also, we also like. I mean,
and Native Americans. I can't say that they're real well represented in Hollywood.
One of the film critics I read on Twitter ran into a couple of. He didn't say who they were. Elderly Academy members. Who it both of them freely admitted to him that none of them could be bothered to watch Straight Outta Compton.
It
was too loud.
This
is a problem. Like, I mean, that's an actual problem. Specifically for a film that was talked about as a possible awards contender.
And also the fact that the only nomination was the four white guys on it. But I mean, even when Helen Mirren talks about stuff like, so she says, like, the problem with Idris Elba, who deserved a nomination, not getting a nomination, was because Oscar voters didn't want to watch a film about child soldiers, right? This is from the same Academy that wanted to watch a film about a woman kept in a box and raped.
Yeah.
Like, there's perhaps
something else going on there,
you know?
And there is. I mean, I think there's certainly an argument.
That's a harder film to watch than Room, now, in fairness.
No, it is, but it...
but it's... much more beautiful, I would suggest. Like, it's well-constructed, it's... I would argue it's a better film.
I haven't seen that.
And also, you'd think something like Straight Outta Compton would lend itself to Oscars because it's a biopic.
Yeah. And there's some good performances in it.
Yeah. And it's well-directed.
Yeah, it is well-directed.
Although I'm very disappointed
that's not really a problem with Gary Gray. He usually directs well. Sometimes he's directing schlock.
Although I'm very disappointed that he's not taking for the new Fast and Furious one. He's not taking the title F. Gary Great. Just lightening the mood here, people. Just lightening the mood. Yeah, yes.
And also Michael B. Jordan, who should really have got into the conversation
for Creed.
Yeah,
I mean, even Creed would have been a possible best picture.
Creed would get in ahead of a couple of films for me, but we'll get to that later. Yeah. Also,
and you nominate you nominate the one white guy in the film.
Oh, if you want to go watching A Tale of Absolute Misery, The Revenant is in there, and he has 13 nominations.
Yeah.
So
it has Leo.
I say
you can't vape though.
No, I would say that man give that man an Oscar before he does himself a serious injury in pursuit of one. Like,
yeah,
it's not funny anymore, Leo. Calm down, boy.
It would be a little funny.
It would be.
Well, if he turned up the Oscars and didn't win,
it would be great, wouldn't it?
It would. If they
love that.
If they gave it to like Bryan Cranston instead, for example.
That'd be glorious.
Which looks like the most bland biopic subject.
And Cranston goes up in full character in there. I would watch the hell out of that Oscars.
Well, that's a film about Hollywood, so they do like them.
Self-congratulatory.
Or
Matt
Damon.
Or Eddie Redmayne again.
Oh, that won't happen.
I'm really disappointed that Michael Keaton didn't get a Best Actor nod so that we couldn't get another shot of his face.
Putting away his speech again.
But the thing about Leo, because Leo's been nominated, this is his sixth time. So, I mean, if he wins, he'll have won one out of six. Roger Deakins.
I was going to say, you know, Leo's complaining about not getting a win after five wins. Roger Deakins just looking at him going, bitch, please.
They're very sensitive. But also, this is the argument about the categories. Like, because this is about, you know, how you're going to reform the Oscars, whatever, voting categories. But, like, the problem with fields that are not, like, Best Actor, Best Director, Best Picture, Best Screenplay, is that the nominees are selected by the members of the category in question. So Deakins always gets nominated because cinematographers, like, know what makes a good cinematographer.
Yeah, yeah.
But then when you actually send the ballot in front of people, you have people like Tony Curtis or whoever casting their vote for Best Cinematographer. Yeah. And... sorry.
It's a fair point, though.
Okay, Tony Curtis is maimed. sorry. Bad taste. But yeah, you get this broadening out to people who don't necessarily know the category.
But then again, you're implying that there might be some element of a meritocracy in the Oscars.
Also, you're implying we could you know, tell somebody what's the best cinematographer, or, you know, I mean, there is an opinion as much as anybody's in that regard. I suppose. A wrong one most of the time. But still an opinion.
I mean, and this is the thing about the Oscars, right? The Oscars are, like, I think nobody... I'd be very worried if I met somebody and they agreed entirely with the Oscars.
That's a scary...
Me too. Like, that's terrifying. That's
like
a terrifying
any,
prospect.
Like any best of list, they work best as a sort of a jump-off point for discussion.
Yeah.
They do, and you can go and watch the 8 nominations for Best Picture, and then... Yeah,
you've had a good sampling.
Bull crap, or I loved all of them.
Yeah, you had a good sampling of the year.
I didn't.
We'll go down through. We'll start with Best Picture.
Hang on. If there's X amount of Best Pictures in the top 10, do we really want to guess?
We'll come back to them. These will be yay or nays.
Don't worry, in editing, Niall, just cut and paste what we talk about here.
Should it be a Best Picture nomination?
Should it be a Best Picture nomination or not? Never mind if it will be up for Best. Should it win? Should it be there at all?
Okay.
Yay or nay? The Big Short.
Nay. No.
It's fine. It's got a problem like a lot of this year's Oscar caliber, where it seems like a television movie that sort of stuff.
Yeah, then it shouldn't be there.
Stylish one.
I didn't mind it. Now
it's okay. I didn't mind it either.
It wouldn't be my first cut.
No.
I'm not a big believer in The Big Short, even though it is 5-4 favorite to win.
It won't win.
It's joint favorite
with Spotlight, isn't it?
With Spotlight, yes. Bridge of Spies.
Yes.
No.
Nay. Fine, but
yeah, it's no. fine. Again, it's fine.
It's again, it's prestige. Like if you're looking to,
I can see the reason why it's
yeah.
there.
Yeah,
but
and
in a good year, it shouldn't be there.
It's well made.
This isn't a good year.
Well, keep in mind, it doesn't have a best director nomination, so it's one of the three extra.
Yeah,
it's like your bonus three.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's right. It's not a five.
It's not a
five film.
It's not a real contender.
No, it's not.
And I like it.
Yeah. But it's just that sounds like such a veiled insult. It's a bonus box.
Right, come on, lads, let's get this back on track. We've been here all
day. Yay or nay? Remember? Yes,
okay. Let's do this right then.
Brooklyn.
Nay.
Yay.
I'm fine.
Nay.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Yay.
Yay all around.
Yeah,
yes,
because it's the one that deserves
it. It's the one that deserves winning. It's absolutely brilliant.
And won't.
Yeah. The Martian.
No.
Yay.
No.
Yeah, as a bonus, yay.
No.
Yeah, like it's a crowd pleaser.
Yay. I mean, we need one blockbuster in there.
Yeah.
We have Mad Max.
And we missed
so let's get it out of there.
It's a blockbuster and it's a good film.
Well, Star Wars is missing from the list, which is somewhat surprising.
But imagine the kerfuffle if Star Wars had also been nominated.
Yeah.
a film that contains two minority leads and a woman.
Yeah. And Harrison Ford would have got the best actor, best supporting actor nomination for it.
Probably.
The Revenant.
Yeah.
Yay for cinematic terms. It is a very cinematic film.
It is, but it also means it's a very poorly told story.
It's a horrific story.
It's a fine story, badly told.
It's so long.
Oh,
it is too long.
Yeah, The Revenant is up for best editing.
Room.
No.
Nay.
As much as I enjoy it... I liked it, but
it's not a best picture.
No, and it has that same problem that I think The Big Short has, and that arguably, like, you guys think that Spotlight has, and I kind of think that Spotlight has, where it's like a TV movie that's stuck in.
No, of these, Spotlight is next, so...
Yeah,
no.
We're not going to get there.
Yay for me. I would have Spotlight win it because I don't believe Mad Max could.
Yeah,
that's not the same thing, though, is it?
No,
it's a poor year Spotlight is best picture.
It is, and there are so many better pictures that should be in there.
Yeah.
I think it's a credible best picture winner.
It's a prestigious,
important
in inverted commas,
but well made. It's a
well
made.
We'll get into that.
It's solidly
we'll
made.
We'll get into that,
more, but we'll come back.
We'll
to that
put
that
a spotlight
later.
On Spotlight later.
Or we could
later.
Do that. Don't you worry about that, my friend. Friend,
since when?
Friendo.
Call it friendo.
Carry on.
Actor Cranston.
Haven't seen it.
I've heard
he's decent.
He's decent,
kind of,
and it's a TV movie film again. It's
Damon. Matt Damon.
No.
He's the best. He's the heart and soul of the film.
He's
Damon. He's doing Damon.
And how much money have our government wasted
getting Matt Damon back?
Ours has spent none. None whatsoever. Zero.
This is the election. This is the election issue we need to be talking about.
And again, he has promised 1 million towards Matt Damon's recovery for next year.
Yeah.
For next
if he gets lost in the Philippines, we'll find him.
Oh, nice. Got my vote.
Yeah. If he gets lost
over the film crowd, huh?
Yeah.
Film Twitter is up in hours. The film board going berserk.
We'll come back to that too.
First, one, the political party said they were going to come out and give the film board another $10 million.
Yeah.
Then I would vote for
him. I wouldn't. Depends on which party.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Hadn't seen it.
Here's the thing. I know
that's a no then.
That's a no, but it's a very gentle no. I don't think
it's gonna break his heart.
I know Leo's sitting there somewhere vaping, desperately keeping track of this. Sorry, Leo. But yeah, it's
kill that darn guy.
Why does he sound like a 30s gangster?
I know.
Waste him.
What do you want?
But it's an okay performance. Like, his performance, his character arc is pretty much getting revenge, getting revenge, getting revenge, getting revenge, oops, getting revenge, getting revenge.
I haven't seen the film, so
it's
don't say anything
straight,
more. No, I know that's what it is.
It's a straight line rather than a character arc.
Yeah.
It's not
a
phenomenal performance.
It's not even a character arc, it's an endurance test.
Yeah,
He's basically saying, I can do what Bear Grylls does. Look at me go, and I'll give me some praise for it.
I ate raw liver, give me an Oscar.
Yeah, it's just...
Or give him Pepto-Bismol.
Call a doctor, quick.
What the hell is wrong with that?
It's a great endurance test. It does not
the
a character make.
Right over there.
And this is my problem with The Revenant. I was constantly taken out of that story. And all the effort that Leo goes to feels like it's not...
Yeah,
and
like it's not a great performance. He's a great actor. But
here's
not
a
great
question about The Revenant. It breaks the fourth wall.
Yes,
it
does.
Yes, it does.
Why does it break the fourth wall?
I really didn't like that. Because he wants to be American Hustle.
It makes you complicit in his suffering.
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, it may well have been aiming for that. But it's
the idea that, you know, we invest in these sort of revenge stories and the audience is some...
It's in the 18th century. You don't want to believe that there's actually a video camera there.
But it really draws attention.
As soon as Leo breathes in the lens of the camera, I think,
And when the CGI bear breathes in the lens of the camera as well, like, it's so incredibly aware of its own artificiality.
Yeah, which is something that Inarritu has carried over from Birdman. But it worked at Birdman because that's a film that is essentially theatrical.
Yeah.
Why is this same method applied to a film in the 18th century? It makes no sense.
I think it's meant to be a judgment on the audience in some sort of artsy-fartsy way.
I've said this last year and I'll say it again, Inarritu.
No. He's for the Birdman, is he?
Yeah.
Hey!
I still love Birdman.
Me too, but this is...
But,
yeah.
Fassbender!
Yes,
he did deserve it.
He's good.
In a not very good film, he's good.
It's a great stage play.
It's a
great stage play. As a film...
Oh, it's too in love with the words. Oh, look what I can say.
Have you seen a Sorkin
film? I know, but I'm exhausted by it. I'm actually exhausted.
You know what you should do? You should walk and talk it off.
Hey.
Here's the thing. How much better would it have been if it wasn't Danny Boyle?
Yeah.
I quite like Boyle's filming of, say, the scene where they're ousting Jeff Daniels. I don't know, where they're trying to oust him, and then he's like...
If
Fincher filmed The Room, it would be an infinitely better film.
Well, yes.
But Fincher could film Goosebumps, but we'll get to that later.
I know the scene you're talking about. That is more a triumph of acting and editing than any direction. I mean, it's... Cripes, he does know how to get his thumbprints over everything, doesn't he, Danny Boyle?
And shove that camera up, just so you're
And aware. At an angle, a slight angle, you know.
Let's view it through the ceiling tiles.
I think I found the script too wordy and too...
More than it needed to be.
Yeah, and that beside and coupled with the direction from Boyle, the film just kind of left me a little. No,
I mean, I liked some of the touches.
I like it.
So you had some issues when you boil it down.
It's a very different biopic, which is
Kate
good.
There is three different biopics compared to her accents that they go with.
I liked Winslet in it a lot. Actually, fine.
Red Man from Dan
I've read a lot of reviews and opinions on this, and once you think about it, even leaving aside any issues, the fact that a cisgender man is playing a transgender character, it's not very good. He's just basically simpering and putting up his hand to his face and going, wouldn't I be a lovely lady?
Yeah. He didn't deserve it last year, so he didn't deserve this year.
He wasn't bad last year.
He was okay.
Yeah, but even
that
this...
That was a TV movie.
Yeah.
That
was a BBC TV movie.
Yeah.
Sorry, BBC.
But it's The Danish Girl, on the whole, not great because the title character is given such a relatively bland performance, and Alicia Vikander, she steals the whole show.
Yeah. Well, she's the lead.
Yeah.
There's a category for all. Yeah, there's
no. Yeah, well, best actress, Cate Blanchett.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah.
Yep.
No argument.
Brie Larson. Who is great?
She is.
Yeah. No, she is.
This is a strong field in this category. We must say.
Jennifer Lawrence. No, I'm sorry. No,
I'm out on that. Russell.
Meh.
Good. I'm done with
you. Can't rustle up any enthusiasm.
Her performance in Joy is the best.
Bravo,
thing
sir.
It is the best thing about Joy, but Joy is terrible. So
yeah,
of course
but
it is.
Joy
is
so
Freudian. It's a David O. Russell joint.
But it's
Christ's
so
sake.
Freudian. Her father is in the basement of the house that represents her psyche.
Yes, and her ex-husband. The two of them live together.
And her mother is bedridden. Yeah. Oh, Lord.
Yes, but
and the plumbing's broke.
Oh! Oh!
Sorry.
God, I hate this film so much and I've never seen it.
It's week on Freudian Podcast.
It wears its id quite a lot now.
There we go.
Yeah. Charlotte Rampling.
Yes.
And Saoirse.
Yes.
She absolutely
she's amazing.
She's great in it, but okay.
You're talking about the performances here.
She'd be Oscar winner for me.
I'll be honest, it'd be tough to cut any of those.
Lawrence would be the one that'd be weakest.
If he were replaced by a couple of the supporting actors.
Yeah, if you put Alicia Vikander in there instead.
Or Rooney Mara.
Then, supporting actor, Christian Bale. Who's fine, but there's better.
There's also
better
Christian Bale supporting performances in
history. Creel is better. I would even argue Gosling is better, and I hate him. I know! He wasn't bad at all in it.
Yeah, but that's because he's like properly smarmy, and you think he's smarmy anyway.
I do. So. I really do. You're not wrong, though.
This is like what you imagine happened when the camera's caught on Lost River.
And every film he was ever in or ever made. Yeah, pretty much.
Tom Hardy for The Revenant.
Yes.
Wrong Revenant person.
Will Poulter.
No. I love Will Poulter anyway.
No. They're both good.
Yeah.
They're both better
and they're
than
both
DiCaprio.
Better than DiCaprio. And that's not a that's
if you're listening, Leo.
Sorry,
yeah,
Leo.
We went there.
Give me the Darren guy.
Give me the Darren guy.
Now you've turned him into De Niro from The Untouchables.
Well, that's what Scorsese is trying to do.
I want his family dead. I want his.
That's what Scorsese is trying to do. Anyway.
Mark Ruffalo. For Spotlight.
No, wrong.
It could have been Keaton, Slattery, Schreiber, Darcy
Keaton,
James.
Schreiber, I'd be fine with.
Keaton, Schreiber.
Schreiber's the best.
Well, Schreiber's great as well.
Mark Rylance, yes, absolutely.
Yes, he should win.
He should win.
But wait a minute, there's more.
But wait,
Sly Stallone
in Creed. Yeah,
you should be there, but I think Ryan's a better part. I like Sly in it. He's great.
We like Creed a lot.
We'll get back to that. The issue is not that Sloane has a nomination, it's that he has the only nomination.
Yes, we like Sloane.
I quite like to see Ryan Coogler in there as well.
Yeah.
So would I.
Yeah.
But we'll come back to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We're getting ahead of ourselves a lot.
Best supporting actor.
Actress,
yes. A female actor. Jennifer Jason Leigh for The Hitman.
Yes. It's about time she had a dreadful role.
Or a brilliant role.
No.
It's a very talky punching bag.
It's a great film.
It's a terrible
It's not
film.
In the top ten, so let's
it's
go with it.
It's the worst Tarantino film, aside from Death Proof.
I don't hate it as much as you, but that evaluation I concur with.
Yeah.
Okay. It's the thing.
I would
in
never
the
watch
Wild
that again.
I just want to watch The Thing instead, thanks.
Oh,
it's not The Thing. The Thing is far.
No.
Far.
It's the man who came
far
in from the cold in the Wild
West. In the cold.
Agatha Christie in the Wild West.
Yeah.
And it can F right off for
it. And it's great, and it speaks to the moment. It's white hell. It's a black man, white hell. It's arguably
it's
more relevant than
it's
more relevant than any of the best.
It's a load of characters beating the hell from each other, dialogue, and eventually,
or as we call it, society.
The same character.
Yeah, as we call it, society. I'm just putting my pipe in my mouth now.
You're giving Tarantino a lot more credit than he deserves.
No, I think it's fantastic.
No,
I think Tarantino is
very clued in with the popular side.
Yes, the film
is dreadful. It's a film. I don't care about its cultural legacy.
I'm going to call it now. I'm going to say this will be the film of 2016. Silence.
Jesus.
I'm going to go see it when it's in the IFI on 70 mil.
I don't know if that'll
do. It's a one-star film for me.
Oh.
It's a five-star film.
Actually, maybe
film
one and
for
a half.
Me.
One and a half.
Okay, well, that's very generous.
They are wildly contrasting. Anyway, we can agree Jennifer Jason Leigh is the best thing in it.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Rooney Mara for Carol, who should be
the best
actress.
Category fraud.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no
worries. It'd be so
don't worry, we're getting there.
Rachel McAdams in Spotlight.
No.
As the only woman in Spotlight, and they wanted
like
to nominate
again,
Spotlight.
Just because she's the only woman doesn't mean she gets a nomination.
She gets practically nothing to do.
It's a very straightforward, straight-laced character.
Standard.
Yeah.
Well, I think the problem is they wanted to reward Spotlight.
They had a lot of empty space.
She's the only
reporter who doesn't really have an arc of her own.
But then again, very few of these reporters have an arc.
No, they don't do much. We missed the moment. But I mean, okay, so Keaton has his whole, Keaton has an arc that is spoilerish. Slaterly has like a, you know, he's covering, you know, Schreiber has, he's an outsider coming to town. Ruffalo has it, he's young and passionate and angry, and he gets a big Oscar speech about how it could have been you.
It could have been any of us.
And then he picks up Loki and beats the crap out of him.
That would have made it a better film.
On the other hand, McAdams walks around and talks to
She
him.
Has her grandma. Yeah. Her character arc is her grandma.
Comes out firsthand from a guy who's actually non.
Again, she doesn't actually do anything.
She's just responsive against other external factors happening against her. She's a conduit for the story, though, in many ways.
She's a reporter. That's generally what they do.
Alicia Vikander, again, category fraud.
And wrong film.
And, yeah.
Controversy.
I'd happily see her nominated for Ex Machina. I'd actually happily see her nominated for Best Supporting Actress for Ex Machina and as Best Actress for the other. You know?
Oh, we're going for the win. We're going for like a Winslet here is what we're trying to Sigourney Weaver.
But the crazy thing is that if you put Alicia Vikander and Rooney Mara into Best Actress, which is already saturated, you lose two out of Best Supporting Actress. Who do you put in?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if are filling their ballots with Rachel McAdams, and sorry, Rachel, then yeah, it's not a strong category.
Yeah, fair point.
The girl that plays the part in Creed is actually a slightly above part. She's good. Yeah, she's good.
You could have had, if you were going for a person of color, you could have someone from Tangerine.
Yeah.
But if the Academy members actually watched Tangerine, yeah.
But the problem here is. This points to another problem as well. That supporting actress is a weak category. Points to the fact that there's not enough women.
Yeah. Which is and it just there isn't time to even complain about that because there's so much else to complain about. That's the problem. We get to women at another point when we solve the race problem in 50 years.
This is four white guys in a room.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we're working on solving it too, you know.
We're on this.
We might have a woman in here in 20, perhaps 25 years. Yeah, it could happen.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Joke, by the way.
Okay.
Best director, we have Adam McKay.
No.
His direction is far too OTT.
Philip said noise. The region is my answer also.
George Miller, who should win.
Yes!
No argument.
And he's heading the jury at Cannes this year.
Yes
can do.
What a lovely day.
And Alejandro González Iñárritu?
I haven't seen it, don't know.
Yeah. I like my heavy-handed symbolism, and it looks pretty. It's too long.
Yeah, but that's Lebesgue's job. But yeah. No, I
the big Lebesgue, or
he is the dude.
He is the dude.
He's an Emmanuel of a very different nature. Lenny Abramson.
No.
It's nice to see him.
I'm wonderful nice for Ireland, but he's brilliant. Yeah. To be in the five, no.
No.
Yeah.
And Tom McCarthy for
no
some
God no
no
no we'll be back to that
yeah. Which is fine. Alright, so best animated we have Anomalisa.
Yay, should win, won't
only
win.
So few days till I see it.
Yeah, playing the Dublin International Film Festival.
It's going to be funny to disappoint you, isn't it?
It's never going to disappoint Charlie Coffin.
We have
it's impossible.
Boy in the World, which I know absolutely nothing about. Inside Out.
Which should be in the Best Picture nominees.
Yes.
No.
No, it should. It's brilliant.
Maybe, actually. Yeah. If we were talking about 8-10 films and some of them shouldn't be there, yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe.
Shaun
yeah.
the Sheep.
Yes. 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 1,000 times, yes.
And When Marnie Wasn't There. So
I haven't seen it. It's Ghibli, isn't it?
Yes, Japan. Yeah, it is, yeah.
It is Ghibli.
For Mashi Onabashi.
Ah, yes.
Yes.
one of my favourites. You laugh. Why do you laugh so?
Best Foreign Language.
Yes.
Embrace of the Serpent.
That's supposed to be very
good.
Good
things like that, yeah.
Colombia. Mustang from France, which is playing in the film.
Which
festival.
I'm not seeing. I've seen some.
And
yes.
It's supposed to be very good as well.
Son of Saul.
Yes.
All seen, good,
but
baby.
I will be seeing.
From Hungary, which is playing in the film festival.
Yes, must win. Must win.
Yeah, it is odds on favourite.
Yes.
Teeb from Jordan, which played last year's film festival.
It's okay. Yeah, I saw it. It's not bad.
And A War from Denmark.
That is supposed to be quite good as well.
Tobias Lindholm. So at least you have a solid director.
Half the cast of whatever TV show, yeah, you can find. Yeah,
documentary.
Much. Don't you diss the Borgen.
I love Borgen.
Documentary, Amy, which I think is just okay.
It's fine. I liked it. I didn't love it as much. The raves is getting this bad.
Yeah, that,
but I liked it a lot.
It's fascinating.
I think it broke through, though, in a way that not many documentaries
do. But I think there's something about I wasn't a massive fan of Senna either. I like both of them.
I love the subject matter of Senna, but I'm a big Formula One fan.
So. I agree with that. But
I think, it's formally is not particularly interesting. I think
the grace. She's pretty much on camera every second, and you could watch that all the time. She's a brilliant tragic figure in that sense, as in the documentary sense. I don't think he does anything with it per se.
No, necessarily. I mean, it's a pretty real telling.
Insights.
Again, it's a story that played out very publicly, so there's only so many insights you can offer. But he charts it very, very well.
Yeah, enjoyed it. I watched it, but I found it largely forgetting it soon after. You know,
details flit.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. But I did like
it. Cartel Land.
I didn't love it. It's fine. It's getting a little raves or a little much. It's
Again, it's an interesting subject matter.
Yeah, very interesting subject. There's narrative issues with it where it forces things down a certain way to make a story work, which I have problems with documentaries when they do it, but otherwise, good.
Ah, look, Silence.
Yes.
Well, I think they're the winner. Yeah.
Amy's a big favourite.
Amy is it?
Yes.
Amy is one of the favourites.
It's 20 feet from stardom all over again.
It is.
Isn't it?
I actually think Look, Silence is going to win because he has to be rewarded for the Look, Silence and that. Surely.
Yes.
I mean, for the love of God, the two of the best documentaries this bloody decade or century.
Yeah. Oh, Look of Silence broke me.
Yeah.
Really what happened, Miss Simone?
This is Liz Garbus' documentary on these ones. I heard it's pretty good.
I've heard good things.
I should get around to this because I'm a big Nina Simone fan. But like I said, I've heard good things. I'm a bit iffy on Garbus' stuff in general. I wasn't a huge fan of her documentary with Bobby Fischer. The one on Marilyn Monroe is supposed to be all right.
I saw the Fischer one. It's okay.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm expecting not much more than this.
And the last one is the one that's most timely of all. Winter on Fire, Ukraine's Fight for
Freedom. That's a Netflix documentary as well, which I still haven't seen. I have it on my list to watch. I shall watch. Hopefully,
there's a few documentaries on Ukraine recently. There's that and Maidan was the other big one. I haven't heard anything about this, but you know, like you say, it's timely. So at least it should have some bite.
Both of those are Netflix ones, so I'll probably try to get those to watch because I've seen all the rest before the Oscars. Just for the completest.
Best original score for Philip.
Oh, thank you.
Bridge of Spies.
No, it's Thomas Newman doing his Thomas Newman thing. I miss John Williams from a Spielberg movie.
Yeah, it's fine, but it's not memorable.
There's nothing Newman about it, eh?
There is not a damn thing.
There's Newman!
Hello,
Carol.
Jerry.
Hello, Newman.
Carter Burwell's
Carter Burwell's first Oscar nomination, which shocks me. He's great. All the work he's done for the Coens over the years, but nope, this is the one, and it's a great score.
It's very fitting with the film. And Ennio Morricone is the Hateful Eight.
I like this score a lot. I think it's a fine score because he tinkers enough with the material that you'd expect from like his work with Leone to make it its own identifiable thing. And working in a few of the elements from the score to the thing also helps. I like it a lot. It's an enjoyable score.
Johan Johansson's for Sicario.
Yes.
I was disappointed in Sicario, but the score's a beast.
I like the score. I really like the
It's
score.
Basic. It's what I imagine Hans Zimmer would make if he's feeling very depressed. And angry. Very, very angry.
I wasn't too on the film, but the score was great.
Yeah, very honest.
I seem to be one of the few people who actually enjoyed Sicario.
I liked it until it didn't, until it fell off a cliff.
It doesn't understand what it's doing with its own narrative.
It's true. Yeah. It has a compelling lead character who doesn't know what to do with her.
That makes it interesting.
Not really.
It makes it something.
No! And John Williams, first Star Wars The Force.
Well, that was inevitable.
I still haven't seen it.
I think so long as he's
hitting... Don't worry, he'll be in the cinema.
February was what I was aiming for, so, you know.
Yeah, I think so long as he's... I haven't seen the film either, most of this. Yeah.
We obviously made quite a compelling argument both the last podcast last year.
This
and
is
the
$2 billion juggernaut.
By the moment,
I didn't attribute to it.
Biggest movie of all time, unadjusted for inflation.
Third biggest movie of all time, unadjusted for inflation.
It will be.
It was not going to pass Avatar.
It's not going to pass Avatar?
No, it's not. It's lost too much momentum.
I'm sure so long as he's hitting all those right nostalgic notes, it's just fine. I love the Star Wars scores. Who doesn't?
Yeah, no, they're great.
I just
want to mention one song in Best Original Song. Writing on the Wall is up. That is a travesty.
Dreadful film.
That is
a dreadful
song.
It should be Simple Song number 3 from Youth. Probably won't be because, you know, they pick rubbish.
Mm-hmm. Then, Best Cinematography. We have Ed Lashman for Carol.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Should be.
He absolutely should be because the heat films is actually 16mm, so
yeah.
It looks
very pretty.
It just looks creamy. It looks like you want to inhale it and eat it. It's delicious.
Robert Richardson for The Hateful Eight.
Great job.
Yeah,
one thing
to say about that.
I mean, that opening credits with that wide shot.
That shot
was
the best thing in the film for me. That was actually, it went downhill after that.
It's a great shot
from the cross.
Where it pulls back.
Glorious, absolutely glorious.
Whatever anybody says.
And it keeps going from there. It only gets better.
Yeah.
John Seal for Mad Max Fury Road.
The moment I saw that film, I thought, John Seal has to win. This is a strong category, so now I don't know, but I'm glad he's there.
This
you heard that they were talking about ending it, or rendering it in black and white to see what it looked like. Apparently, Miller considered doing it in black and white. I imagine it would look stunning.
It'd probably look better in black and white.
You think?
Yeah. I think
without the blue and orange.
Because the light in it, like Miller and light.
Because it's so based on the sort of framing a comic type
thing. Black and white.
Yeah, I think some of the Blu-ray release.
I love it. I love it.
The Blu-ray does.
New Blu-ray. There's a second Blu-ray. The double dipping with the black and white version is going to be on it.
You can turn on black and white on your TV.
No, I know.
But it's not properly calibrated.
Yeah, it's, you know.
Oh, I'd mess with it to calibrate if they gave me the settings. I'd make it work. The Revenant for Manuel Lubezki.
He's going to win it anyway. So.
Yeah, he probably will. And the cinematography is the best thing about it. It's just, as I say, it's Iñárritu's decisions that undermine Lubezki's good work. The use of natural light is quite jaw dropping. But that's all
cinematography has to be, though. In some ways.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The manipulation of light. That is all that film is, Jay.
Well, that's how it was.
And sound.
All art can be reduced to a distillation of the manipulation of light. No more.
It should mostly be colours.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. That's because he was painting. If he was making music, it wouldn't have been that.
It might be out of something there, though.
It's
you could go to Mozart. No, if you could just
stay on this. Just cut that. If you
give me that dial guy.
Hand me my sound blockers.
I would.
It's so beautiful. Oh.
Look at his fingers go.
I would.
Mr. Turner, just in case you didn't get the reference from Phil.
I would rather see Lachman win it over Lubezki, but it probably will be him. Which I thought I wouldn't regret.
No, Deakins!
And 20-odd time nominee!
I like the... I don't think it's his best work.
I did like Sicario. I liked the look of it. There's a great shot where some soldiers are getting ready for an operation and it's against this orange and blue sky. That was phenomenal.
So we'll move on from there to Edith. The Audi Dublin International Film Festival has finally announced this lineup.
What a difference a year makes.
What a
difference. Yeah, it's easy what I did there.
Thank you, Gina Washington.
And we're... it's not quite as strong a lineup as it has been
the
previous years.
There are some notable omissions.
Yes, indeed.
I was disappointed by some of them now. Some of the ones that are absent, but you can't complain with some of the films that are in.
All right, let's talk about the ones that are there.
Well, yeah, it opens up with Sing Street, which is great, which I saw recently.
Which I'm going to the screening of.
It is very, very enjoyable. Then it has Evolution.
It's an underrated David Duchovny film.
I would put this out as a recommendation to anybody. It is a fantastic
film.
Very, very good.
I can't remember.
It's on at the same time as Mustang, which is France's.
Oh, yeah, I've not seen Mustang.
There are a lot of scheduling conflicts this year. I know there always are with the film festival, but.
Which is odd considering there are 20% less films at it this year than last year.
Fewer films.
I think I better go. Was it something I said? Yes, as a matter of fact.
Then, the early morning Saturday one, Hail Caesar, new Coen Brothers.
Because if you have a Coen Brothers film, you want to air at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Hey, it makes a 5-film day possible, so I'm happy.
Yeah. No, I do. I that's what I really like about the film festival, is that you can do those 5-film days.
Those are fun.
I think that's my only one, but yeah.
We're going to get to that with the Sunday, I think, but anyway.
Followed by Francophonia.
Which I'm seeing also.
Alexander Sokurov, great film.
And at the same time then, Michael Collins, the 20th anniversary.
I've not seen that unless because it's Michael Collins. But, you know, I hope people enjoy it.
It's not bad.
It's okay, I enjoy it.
I just don't treat it as a history lesson and you're all right.
Unlike every Leaving Cert student in this country.
There is fun to be had, but I've seen it.
And every Fianna Fáil voter in this country, its portrayal of Dev is quite staggeringly biased.
He's played by the bad guy from Die Hard. Alan Rickman's great.
Alan Rickman is incredibly miscast.
You can tell that he's cast because he's a British actor who plays villains.
And he does look like
Yeah, you're casting him in an Irish revolutionary film.
He really shouldn't have been there.
No,
he really shouldn't have been there. I do not know. And literally anybody that's 6 foot tall from Ireland that is there this day. Niall could have been the better Dev.
I have the same physique as Dev.
Yeah. Anybody that's tall can wear glasses and is acted in the game would have been a better Dev.
But here's the thing, I think if you're making that version of Michael Collins with that script, I think casting Rickman
where Dev is the
best.
It's a Hollywood film, so you have to do it. I mean,
Like, you have Julia Roberts as teaching a play.
Yeah, Alan Rickman is not your problem.
No, man. I tell you, I bet you he thanks Julia Roberts for reading that film, though, because a lot more attention would have been paid, I suspect, had she not have been.
Anyway, what else?
Yeah, it's kind of appalling, isn't it?
It's very
It's great fun, but yeah, it's appalling.
It's a pantomime of Irish history. It's great.
I kind of wish I'd booked tickets there.
Neil Jordan Q&A after
I've seen this. Yeah, I'd be interested to hear some of his questions on that one. So, Neil, what the fuck was that? Sorry. Yeah, I really love you, Neil. Yeah.
If you were to rank Alan Rickman villains, where would you put De Valera on the scale?
Because all he is a little evil mustache.
Yeah. I disagree.
Dev wasn't even in the same county as when he was shot.
But he was in a barn.
But he
saw
it in the film.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers found them in the barn. And he said they're going to kill the thing. Oh, good God.
What else is showing? This is
the We should watch it for next week.
Yeah, we should all, yeah.
We should all watch Michael Collins. Come on, I want to do it. We should live tweet
This
it.
Is like Grace of Monaco, yeah.
We should live tweet Michael
There's
Collins.
A fair chance I may need to bail the blow out here now.
Come on, Ned, you know it's a true Collins.
Traitors is also on. We're keeping with the Irish films. So Traitors showed the Fly last year and now it's coming to Dublin.
It's okay,
but
I'm seeing Traitors.
Truth is playing Philip Saunders.
Would you,
Dan,
rather not?
I'd rather not. It's not a great film. Blanchett.
Kate
Blanchett and Robert Redford.
It's the Vanderbilt.
That's right. Yeah. And Vanderbilt is, of course, the guy who wrote Zodiac.
Which would always give me a kind of.
Can I just.
It's like the guy who wrote Taxi Driver.
I know I'm the only one who's actually seen Truth here and hasn't gone on release yet, but you don't make a story about crusading journalists who fucked up a story and try and make them look like the good guys. They screwed up the story! But anyway, that just put them.
Yep, Louder Than Bombs is also on the Saturday.
Well, yes, Joker Heisenberg and Gabriel Byrne.
This is interesting. I remember this was shown at Cannes.
Yeah, it went down like a balloon.
It was less Louder Than Bombs.
Yeah.
But I've talked to people recently who really, really liked it. I saw it at different things.
I think its biggest problem is that it's not Oslo August 31st.
Yes. Have you seen it?
I still haven't seen that.
Oh, that's great, so.
Oslo, actually, for it's amazing. I actually really like his previous one as well, which is called. It's really good, anyway.
Sounds like a good title.
Anyway, Kung Fu Panda 3.
I'm actually going to see this.
I am as well.
I am not.
You have a kid, though. You have an excuse.
I'm going on my own.
I like the first Kung Fu Panda. I love the first one. I like the second one.
Reprise.
Yeah.
Mr. Phil.
Do it again.
We have Arabian Nights Volume 1, 2, and 3.
Which I went to the go to and you're sold out. So we will not be seeing them.
And I'm not here.
Between those is the Irish Film Board after 16 shorts, of the 9 shorts that they commissioned to celebrate the centenary.
I'm not seeing those.
I am, so I will report back on them.
Excellent.
And then the True Commissioner.
I think I've seen this because I did nothing else.
This is Declan Reek's new film. And trailer dropped today. I put it up on the site earlier. It is it's an interesting looking film. I mean, it's got Roger Allam in it, who's like, he's very engaging as a screen presence. So I'm looking forward to checking it out.
I'm committed to it now.
Oh, nice!
That's a little bit of a favorite. I'm sure.
I think it'll be good.
Sure.
He's bringing the truth.
Then Mountains Made Apart.
Oh, Jia Zhangqi.
Yeah. So that'll look good anyway.
I'm not seeing that at all.
The Manchurian Candidate, the classic one.
Yeah. Angela Lansbury.
Because Angela Lansbury's in town.
Yeah.
She's 105, you know.
She is not.
By the way,
she might be.
If I were a member of the ADIF staff, I would be very nervous right now.
This is not Kamikova, lad.
Remake of Manchurian Candidate is better than the original. I said it!
I agree.
I disagree.
Frankly,
but
I don't give a damn.
It's not bad.
It's very good.
I like
it's got Liev Schreiber.
It's better than people give it credit for.
It is, but it's...
And it features Meryl Streep's best Thatcher impression.
But on the other hand...
Oh, okay.
Spitting on the floor there. Sorry, excuse me.
Oh, Iron Lady is terrible.
No,
oh, it is a terrible, terrible...
It's more the politics.
I,
speaking of it out, Jay.
No. Night Shyamalan.
Brand New Testament.
I think I've seen that.
Jaco van der Meijs.
That's the one.
This was, they were hoping to get a Best Foreign Language nomination at the Oscars.
It was a stacked year, this
year.
I'll let you know.
I've heard
mixed things all the way.
Yeah.
But I've already booked a ticket, so.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm
committed.
Once Upon a Time in the West.
It's airing on a weekday after.
And why?
Yeah, that's
But pre-tell,
that's our Sunday
and
afternoon
why
film,
on earth
right?
is that there?
That's a Sunday afternoon Savoy big screen thing. And the...
Yeah, that would be a nice last Sunday film.
Yeah,
that
would. I'd watch that on Sunday.
IFI 70 mil. That's
Is it possible they have a special guest for this?
It is possible they have a special guest for it. Are you going?
Well, no, I don't think so. When is it?
It's at quarter to five on Monday.
So you can't go.
It's quarter to five on Monday.
Oh, so I'm not going to see
it. Yeah. On a Monday? Yeah.
Yeah, we just
explain the special guest there, Phil.
The special guest is this one of the stars of Once Upon a Time in the West, the ever lovely Claudia Cardinale.
Yes, who is also going to be here to accept Volta.
Indeed, and the first time I saw Once Upon a Time in the West, I just knew that she was one. She's still one of the most beautiful creatures I've ever seen to go on the screen. Just
now, you're not allowed within 100 yards. It's a sad day.
It is.
Same day on 22nd. High Rise.
Yes.
I'm not going to see this again, would you believe?
Yeah, because you were not a fan.
A lot of people aren't fans.
I'm not saying you personally, but you're doing here.
I know, but my point is there are people out there who are fans, people that aren't, which is kind of the response you want from an adaptation.
And it's also a Ben Wheatley film as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'll always see a Ben Wheatley film.
It's
anyway,
not going to be polarizing.
Yeah. It's, yeah, well, yeah, although generally his stuff is better received than this.
Yeah, that's
true. It's interesting. And I can't wait to hear what you all think of it afterwards.
Yeah, I'm there.
I think we're all
it's
there.
Based on a Ballard novel, I mean.
And an all-star cast.
Yeah. I'll be there.
All I ask is it's better than the Doctor Who story.
Yeah, oh God, yeah. Then, Demolition on the 23rd.
I don't know what that is.
Jean-Marc Vallée with
Jake Gyllenhaal again.
Yeah.
I'm not seeing it.
Sadly, it's not Demolition.
long
overdue
and
critical.
There's a Sunday afternoon.
Long overdue
and
critical.
I think any Jean-Marc Vallée film would be improved by the Three Shells.
Yeah.
Anomalisa.
What day is that again?
That is the 23rd.
Only so few days.
Anomalisa is one of the picks of the festival. It's great. Charlie Kaufman.
Yeah.
Stop motion.
Tom Noonan. And,
Tom Noonan, David Thewlis, and Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Oh, God, I can't wait. Then I have a very awkward journey because I have to go from here in town out to Dundrum to see My Name is Emily.
Yeah, I was going to go see that.
And then back to see Mel.
Dundrum. It's like, lads, what are you putting something on Dundrum for the love of God?
Well, there is actually a little logic to that.
Yeah, because the director is in a wheelchair because he suffers from neuron disease.
There's nowhere in
the
town to facilitate.
There would be, but it's just, you know.
For the festival
fine,
and stuff.
It just... I actually wanted to see it, and I just...
It's logistically quite difficult,
although for a city with, you know, some more credible...
transport! Well, it's in Dundrum, so I'll get to Lewis out and back in. So.
Oh, yeah, you'll be fine, because you only have to take, like, 3 steps between Lewis stops.
Astride the city. And also Green Room is on that as well,
which I'm very excited about.
I'm missing because I'm going to see Mammals.
Patrick Stewart as a neo-Nazi.
I seem to be the only person who doesn't like Green Room.
Oh, no, I'm missing because I'm
going to
see My Name's
Emily. Yeah, because I've seen Green Room and
Mammals.
I love a miserable evening to me.
So, yes, a Green Room. Yeah, Blue Room is... It's a very well-made film.
I like Blue Room. I wouldn't be crazy about it. But
it's good.
Like,
it's solid. Above solid.
As a calling card goes, it's the first film.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I would debate whether or not Green Room delivers on it, but oh well. Like
but
I said, I'm in the minority.
Raving about it. It's
except me.
I generally listen to Philip on these things when people are raving.
And the detente is back
on. He's generally the voice of reason.
Yeah. The detente is back
My man. Yeah. My man right here.
You're always right, but you're always the voice of reason.
Mammoth later that evening.
I'll take that.
Irish film played at.
Yeah, I heard good things. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, played Sundance. Went down well there. So.
Pete wasn't Manimal, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, that's long overdue. That is coming
finally,
back.
Finally,
it is.
I'm sure everything is coming back eventually.
Simon McCorkadale.
Yes, it is indeed.
The Late Lamentums, sadly.
It's one of my early TV shows I watched.
We have Richard O'Dowell, who did The Pipe as Atlantic.
I've not seen that.
I will.
Not for any reason. There's only so many.
Just throwing that out there. Yeah.
I quite like The Pipe actually, but I think it's cash for something else.
Yeah, no, I'm just. I will be attending. I'm going to all the Irish films.
Who'd have thought?
Shocking, isn't it? Then we have...
What does Scanlon mean? I've always wondered.
Yeah, it's not written just underneath. Yeah. Hitchcock Truffaut on the 27th.
Very Sunday.
Now,
that, yeah.
The thing is, this
don't know if I've seen
this is based on the famous interviews and books that were published, the interviews between Hitchcock and Truffaut. So what this will add, I don't know.
Visual pictures.
It's Frost Nixon.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no, not again. Not again. I like Ron Howard.
Don't even
good figure.
Darren is our Ron Howard apologist. Get me Darren.
There's always one.
Give me that guy.
As long as he can protect me from Leo, I think we're okay.
Then we have the German film Victoria, which was all, shot
oh, yeah,
all in
that.
One take.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Victoria.
That is supposed to be
quite
good.
Very interesting.
Yes.
But and it's and then straight after that is Miles Ahead, the Don Cheadle.
I've not seen that because I think it runs the Clash. Did it?
They do. I am seeing Miles Ahead, and I can't wait.
Sure, no, there's 12 minutes.
Yeah, 12 minutes. There are different cinemas.
To get from Lighthouse to Cineworld. Good luck.
Yeah, I've done it before.
And keep in mind that there's going to be trailers
you've
as well.
Three steps for you, though. We've already discussed.
Yeah.
But keep in mind it's trailers, and without insinuating anything about the film festival, occasionally it happens that films start late.
Yes.
Yeah, but the one earlier could start late as well.
Yeah,
that's,
so
that's
you have
true.
To gambling. But
yeah.
Anyway,
so
it's why season passes are great. You can just book all these things.
It's
Miles Davis, it's Don Cheadle.
Yeah. If only they had a service where you could like stream with your iPhone, you'd have miles to go.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
carry on, carry on.
I might just book Miles Ahead anyway, actually.
Serge Bromberg is on at the same time.
Never heard of
it. It's... it's something that I was reading about and it sounds interesting. Anyway, Iona then is. I can't remember. There was so many. There's 87 films.
Good lord, man.
Look at this. It happened last year. Yeah.
You call yourself a curator of films. For the purpose of this conversation, you do.
Iona then is a film with Ruth Nega. It's a Scottish drama.
Unfortunately, it's playing alongside Son of Saul. So
yeah, it's on same time Son of Saul, so that is a
I'm afraid I will be there.
Yes, Son of Saul, which I declared was the best film of last year. Just saying!
Yeah. Zootropolis, which is
the new Disney.
The new Disney.
For which there is absolutely no buzz.
Yeah. A foxy detective, if you will.
Oh, good lord.
It looks interesting. I'm
curious. Well, I think it's on in the morning.
It's
the
on the
only
morning.
Thing
it's
on.
Clashing with a thing,
is
it?
Is it crashing with
Sam
there?
No, you have it 2 p.m. in your calendar, no?
No, it's 2 p.m. same time. For the love of me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tough choices. Holocaust or Talking Animals? Holocaust film, Talking Animals.
Then,
Holocaust always.
As always, the surprise film.
I'm skipping it this
last
year.
Day, 7,
I'm,
5
a sucker, I'm a sucker for punishments. So.
And we have predictions.
I'm almost entirely sure it's going to be Eddie the Eagle.
Which is
I'm really, really glad I'm skipping it.
I'm going to be honest, if we're Eddie the Eagle, there's a good chance we'll be better than most surprise films.
Well,
that's fair.
Damn it of a faint praise, though, a little bit.
But that's the joy of it. Like,
it's
the surprise
the
film.
Muppets again.
The surprise
answer
film.
I'd already seen
good
before.
Kill.
It was
yeah.
the Muppets
yeah.
again.
The surprise film could be anything until it's not. Like the ticket, the
but
tickets.
It's never right. It's always it's never anything good. It's like we have these films that could be.
Yeah,
deep down in the heart of hearts, we know it's not that.
Yeah.
It's going to be one of these.
It's going
to
be.
And then something
but like,
worse
if it was a
knows.
Good film, you would advertise it separately. But
that's
yeah.
a fair point.
Yeah,
but I mean,
what
I don't know.
For
I like
every
the
year,
anticipation.
Though.
I like the anticipation of the surprise.
It's
film.
It's because the screen goes down, you
yeah.
don't know what you're going
yeah.
to see,
and it could be great. It could be amazing. It could be mind
blowing. The best part of it is when the screen goes down, though. It's the best part
yeah,
of the whole
it
experience.
It builds that moment.
So you go,
yes,
oh,
yeah.
shit, Ricky Gervais.
Well, that's last year I was trying to watch the end of the Six Nations on my phone at the same time that this was.
I don't even like movie, and that'd be more entertaining than Good Kill.
Good Kill was awful.
And then terrible. The festival closes with Viva,
which I'll be there for.
Yes, the new Irish film, Irish produced film set in Cuba, Spanish language drama based around drag queens,
the early days,
the drag scene in Havana. So that is this year's ADIF, and it is it's going to be an 11-day marathon
as ever.
27 films.
Yeah, everybody's going to be really cranky afterwards. It's fantastic.
I'm taking one day out. I think I'm taking Wednesday or something. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing nothing. I'm taking the day off work and just recuperating.
Due to personal circumstances, I have to take a few days off. But
you'll be back.
I think this
better
will be
than
the,
ever.
I think this will be the
if you behave yourself, maybe
first year in a while. I'm doing every day.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to be cranky when it's over.
You cranky, I
never happens.
Say what?
Sleep deprived and running on sugar.
Oh, I remember those days. Last film festival I was at. Good lord. Not good.
London, wasn't it?
Yeah. That five film day, that was tough. Began with Black Mass. And just the night before, I'd seen Son of Saul. I was a happy bunny.
I had a five film day that included 3:10 to Yuma, The Atonement, and The Assassination of Jesse James.
Ooh. So after that, you're just sailing.
A five day film where The Assassination of Jesse James in it.
Yeah,
that's a long day. That's a decent stint.
Yeah. Garage was one of them.
That's a good five film.
That's actually, well, four of the five. Yeah.
No, the other one was Michael Moore.
Oh, which one? That would have been Sicko.
No, it wasn't. No? It was
not Fahrenheit.
Capitalism.
Oh, Capitalism. No,
yeah,
right.
Still, I mean, 4 out of 5 ain't bad.
And I went into the bathroom after watching it, and Michael Moore was at the urinal beside me.
Did you say you loved his work?
I did not.
I was really hoping you'd say he was in the kind of the cubicle. You could get that family going.
I remember my five film day now. Come on. Black Mass, High Rise, the new one from the guy who did Borgman, Schneider vs. Fox, Room, and The Witch.
Okay, so whoa, I like his five film day better.
I think I like his, although...
Oh, his, just he just like mine because it was miserable.
Yeah.
It ends with The Witch.
I'll be honest, I would be beyond thrilled to see The Witch as a surprise film.
Yeah, The Witch.
And that would be a great surprise film.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would get walkouts.
But you never do that's, it. Yes, you never pull it off.
That's the point. Doesn't matter. They've got the ticket money. What
to be fair? To be fair,
this would be good.
The most walkouts I remember seeing in the surprise film was the Will Ferrell one. That's the most.
Casa de mi Padre.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's a terrible film. But
I saw it after like on Netflix. I like,
got less. I got more walkouts than Greenberg.
There's something so weird about
it. It's a comedy with.
That's very odd.
But it's so odd. Like I'd be happy if the surprise film were like that more often.
Yeah. I'd kind of agree.
Yeah, in that, like, it's like, gone so you never pay to. Yeah, you never pay to see
it's
it.
It's a horror film. It's of course not
polarizing. Yeah. So I would be happier with The Witch than with Eddie the Eagle, but
ditto.
Such is life. Yeah. Sometimes the surprise films for the birds.
Oh.
I've got my own backing track now.
Dark enough the dark.
Yeah.
Come, get more pun related. Fun.
Yeah.
Alright,
so what's next? I can't take much more.
No, that's it. We're moving on to the top 10.
Oh, hurrah.
Because everyone knows that's going to be fantastic.
We always agree.
At 10, terrible Will Ferrell comedy alert, it's Daddy's Home.
That was a nice segue.
Daddy, go home.
That wasn't bad at all.
Yeah.
Unlike the film.
Allegedly,
I haven't seen it either. Nor will I.
It's not great.
6 weeks in the charts.
It's got no, yeah.
And a lot of money.
Which is interesting.
That's because people are idiots. Well, also, not the ones that listen to this podcast, of course.
Yeah,
the rest of them.
You're a very sophisticated film listener who enjoys some fine film discussion.
What the heck? Give me that guy.
Yeah, thank you, podcast listener. But yeah, Daddy's Home is not a patch on the other guys. But it's interesting how the studios tend to sell like comedies very hard over here. Like, because you had Wilf... Mark Wahlberg over that, and you obviously had Ice Cube, and you had Kevin Hart over there for Ride Along 2, which we'll be talking about later.
Yeah, but the thing is, when sometimes they need the helping hand, and the studios realise that, and they get these lads to fly in.
But it just seems disproportionately weighed towards comedies when it comes to Ireland. Like, you get press junkets in the UK for other films, but
for dramas
and for action films and whatever.
It's always comedies they worry about.
Yeah. And
we had World's End and shit like
that.
Well,
they always do
Trainwreck, which they weren't really worried about that.
Trainwreck's okay.
To go
I like Trainwreck.
I did, and then there was another hour of it.
Yeah, but still. Daddy's Home has made $2.25 million.
That's a
what?
Lot of money. I hope you're proud of yourselves, people.
You disgust me, all of you. Except
you
haven't
even
seen
it.
Except anyone who's actually listening to this.
At 9, significantly better movie, but has made... Oh, Christ, it's made less than a third of the money that Daddy's Home has made. It's Creed.
Creed is really
phenomenal.
I like it a lot.
It's a phenomenal film. It's Rocky for a New Age, which you hear very often.
Brilliantly updated.
Yeah. No,
but keeping the same feel and tradition.
Yeah, it is very much a Rocky film, but just Rocky taking a little step to the side, and there's some new blood.
But
it's good new blood, really personal. Like,
and charismatic new book.
Look, Cameron loves the hell out of Michael B. Jordan. Man.
Yeah, like he.
Except in Fantastic Four.
But that's because they cut him out of it.
Yeah.
And wasn't he thankful?
And I've seen that they were in Fruitvale Station, where it's there's problems with the film, but he is great in it again.
But I mean, like, even Michael B. Jordan, like, they asked him about Fantastic Four, and he said, yeah, do it. And you're like, you must be such a nice man.
But it's good. Like, yeah. It's a good film. I enjoyed it.
What I really like about Creed is that it takes, like, Rocky as a working class story and makes it middle class story. So instead of being, like, an illiterate, sort of struggling meatpacker or whatever, he's an office worker who's just not happy and not content. He's millennial. Yeah. Which I think updates it very well for the
time. Yeah, it's 21st century Fight Club.
Yeah, it's
then, I also love when Rocky. Yeah. I love when Rocky writes down his training schedule. He just takes a photograph. And
yeah,
it's nice. I like it.
And I mean, even the running montage and like the callbacks seem earned.
I'm not too sure about the bikes around the man. That was odd.
I thought that was a nice attempt.
I agree.
It has its punch the air moments, but they never feel false.
Yeah, no, and I love those long takes of the early fight scenes.
Yeah, some great
before you get to the more conventional final fight scene. But the long take fight scenes are really great.
It was the second time in the space of a month that we've had a film that successfully.
Yeah,
reboots a franchise by using the best bits of what it was, but by bringing it up to date
and bringing new blood. And Oscars take note, involving a more diverse cast.
Yes, I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And it's a great final scene.
Yeah,
yes,
it's a great final scene. Yes. It puts a bow on something that's really, really good, and I liked that a lot of it.
Yeah.
That's it. It's Goosebumps,
which is also opening this Friday.
Yeah, it's a preview.
It's the preview weekend.
This has got some solid reviews.
Has it?
Yeah,
it has. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, okay. It has. Yeah.
Sorry, not where I was.
I'm kind of curious about it. I don't hate Jack Black.
I read the books as a kid. I remember the TV show.
Yeah.
I think this could be pleasantly cheesy.
I haven't seen that either.
Jack Black playing R.L. Stein.
Yeah, and it does look very CGI.
Oh dear, are we going meta? I am automatically.
Have you ever met a meta film that you liked?
Have I ever met a meta film I liked? Yes, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. Most of the work of Charlie Kaufman, I suppose.
Howard Huckabee's.
There you go. Now that's meta.
I liked it. Last horror film I liked.
Anything by Wes Anderson.
Ah, no, that's not meta. I think that's just sincere fun.
Some of it's a bit. Okay. The Big Short at 7.
Yeah. Fun. It's a TV film.
It's the most fun lesson on the economic most fun class. Lecture on the economic
class. It's the best PowerPoint I've ever seen. And take that, Al Gore.
Weirdly, I've seen this being compared to The Wolf of Wall Street for no real reason except it involves
money.
Something to do with money.
It involves money.
Except like they're coming at not even the same story in a lot of ways, in completely different ways.
Yeah.
And it's like, both of them can exist, people, and you can prefer one or the other. One doesn't.
Or you can enjoy both.
Yeah, but I Big Short's fine. It's okay. The first hour of it's too hyperactive. It does settle down.
When it settles down,
it's not bad. Sorry, that Corral is great.
People, audiences at home, this is the film that made Jay like Ryan Gosling.
I didn't like him. I found him tolerable.
Okay,
that's as good.
That is as good as you're going to get.
That's pretty good for me.
So that's a full thumbs up from Jay.
If you're going to compare it to one of the Wall Street films, wouldn't it be Martin
Call is like this film's much older brother who looks at it and thinking, oh, grow up.
Who's actually wearing
a
tie. Martin Call is actually wearing a tie.
Yeah, Martin Call is the less comic version of
it. I think it's a better made film, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's got the better director.
Arguably the better cast.
I'm not a huge Jason Tanner fan, but I think Martin Call is the best film.
Yeah, I mean, even still, you, before you compare it to The Wolf of Wall Street, you compare it to Wall Street.
As if people have memories of last year.
I think I've seen a think piece where it is like, how Wolf of Wall Street got something wrong and how Big Short got straight. It's like, shut the F up, it's a different thing.
But The Wolf of Wall Street is satirical.
It's a personal point of view. Comparisons are for wimps.
Indeed.
If you gave me a choice to watch either of those two films right now, I'm watching The Wolf of Wall Street.
Easy. All 3 hours of it.
At 6, Capture the Flag.
I shall not capture the flag, man.
It's a little bit right wing for my liking.
It has the word flag in its right wing for my liking.
It's one of these army films.
Oh, God. Oh. It's a lone survivor type thing.
Well, yeah, it's.
And we've got that idiot coming up soon.
Yeah, that's 13 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
The Benghazi.
The Benghazi.
The Benghazi.
Yeah, double the van damage. flag. Probably my favourite tagline ever.
No, capture the flag is... No, Jesus, I'm absolutely out there.
I was thinking that.
15 Spanish 3D animated science fiction adventure comedy.
We couldn't have been more wrong.
Mother of God.
You know those right-wing military Spaniards, right?
Well, there is a... What do you should say that? Franco, get that down, guy.
Speaking frankly, if you
apologies for
to any of our
apologize to everybody
in Spain. Any of our substantial Spanish listenership, we apologize sincerely.
Okay. Sorry. Oh. I think I'm not well.
Hello,
on.
Spanish Embassy, line one.
You know the when Top Gear like managed to,
yeah,
to
I know,
piss
I know.
Off all this.
Hey,
stuff
it's faulty terrorists. Yeah. It's still it out, right?
Manuel's not racist.
No, he's Spanish actor, isn't it? Andrew Sachs.
Andreas Sachs.
Yeah. Andreas Saxo.
Saxo? Ooh, yeah. He makes a good stuffing.
Right. I like this. We're doing a Top Gear. It's
we're doing a bit. Podcast is shut down after.
Saxo makes a really crappy French car.
The Fiat Saxo.
The Citroën Saxo.
I don't
care. Fiat's are Italian.
I'm talking. Well, listen,
we're insulting our way across the continent.
We're going full Europe.
Yeah, we're going. Insulting our way across the continent.
Also, I know next to nothing about cars.
Anyway, speaking of continents and incontinents.
Dirty Grandpa! AKA
that may be the best link. That's good. That's good, Art.
The late career of Robert De Niro, which is incontinence personified.
Leave him alone. He can do what he wants. He's done all the good stuff.
He's
granted, significantly a long time ago, but still.
How come Al Pacino doesn't get the same pass for you, and he doesn't do anything that's bad? Does he get the same pass? Does Al Pacino?
I've never been a particular fan of Al Pacino at all. Okay. We could take a couple of things from the 70s.
Okay. But yeah, the greatest. I like the film poster that's quite candid about this as well. I think Phil's said around.
Yeah, what he said. Once they considered the greatest actor of his generation, and now this.
Yeah. So it knows what it's selling. It knows what it's selling.
It's appalling. It's absolutely appalling.
And the worst thing is, from what I've read of the reviews and from what I've seen in the trailers, it looks like De Niro is actually giving half a crap.
Apparently
he looks like he's trying.
Him and Plaza are very good together, apparently. It would be a much better film if it focused on him and Plaza than...
Aubrey
just kind of,
he's trying to hook up with Aubrey Plaza.
You can't blame him, apparently.
No, no.
blame her.
It's Jay. That's the issue.
I'm aware that's not the problem with the film.
But apparently that's much more engaging than the Efron stuff. As you might imagine. What a surprise. Shocker.
I've seen We Are Your Friends. No, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
Efron's not a leading man.
Whatever about De Niro.
He's a very handsome character actor.
He's
a disarmingly handsome.
Hey, he's not a man. He's a bro.
There's been quite some time since I've seen a new.
No, he's good in Neighbours.
He's very good in Neighbours.
And it'll be quite some time again, I suspect, until I see a new Neighbours.
Come on, The Irishman.
Yeah,
oh, Joy. You have to watch Joy.
I do not. And I shall not.
Come on, Scorsese, get the finger out.
Come on, Marty, don't. Money is better than a die. Stay alive and make that film, goddammit.
Thor, Room, 3 weeks in the charts.
Yeah, it's doing okay.
$750 million.
And it's doing okay in the States as well. It's starting to kind of...
Yeah, it's starting to...
It's good.
It's got room to grow.
It's a good film. It's not a great film by any standards, but it's good.
It's two great films mashed together to make a good film.
Two great performances holding a film that doesn't quite work.
Okay.
It's rather schizophrenic, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, that divide between
quite
two
deliberate.
That's in the book too. So
yeah, and it's quite deliberate.
But it means that both halves are compacted and squeezed. Like you have that really awful interview scene in the second half that exists because you haven't got room to do it properly.
Yeah.
Well, it's also meant to be cringy. It's meant to, and it is.
Yeah, but for the wrong reasons.
But for the wrong, it's cringy because it's terribly written. It's not cringy because the scene that the characters are involved in is awkward.
It's not nearly as good as it's being said.
No, but that said though, can we all just agree? Jacob Tremblay.
Oh, he's amazing. Oh, and Brie Larson is also amazing as well, yeah.
Tremblay is the best thing in the film.
Yeah.
I do like writing.
The
absolutely brilliant thing is that it opens the door for Lenny to get bigger budgets and to do more, and because he's a director who has enormous bags of talent, and it's good. His next one will now come with that title, you know, Oscar contender, you know, just out of the gate, you know.
Yeah, and we need an Irish filmmaker, and it's been quite some time since we had one. We won't count
since,
John Moore
since since Jordan and Sheridan.
Yeah, that actually has that kind of credibility. Cash. And yeah, exactly, and we don't have it. And it's good to see, it's you can pretty much count on his films flying the flag every time.
We have three of them.
Because it's going to be Yellow. Yeah, you think that's it.
Because
yeah.
We have Crowley and we have Carney as well.
And possibly in the future, Gerard Barrett.
Yeah.
And this is good. Like, this is really good.
It's brilliant for Irish cinema that Room is doing as well. Because
it turns a focus on a spotlight, if you will, on it.
Some point. Welcome to that.
Indeed.
A tree. Ride along too.
Let's not.
My favourite film. No, I haven't seen it.
It's terrible. I saw it. I saw it during the week. It is terrible. It's an abomination unto the Lord.
Tell us what you really think now. Come on.
Come on, Darren. Don't
hold back. Let's just say, for a film that stars Ice Cube, it's very uncool.
Oh.
It hasn't got any heart to it.
There's three comedies in the top 10, and they're all crap.
I don't know if I'd be making a fortune.
Yeah, they are. Companies do well over here. Yeah.
They really do. People are lovely.
Not our discerning listeners.
Not our discerning listeners, but the rest of you people. your friends, perhaps. Family members.
Listeners, turn to the person to the left of you and punch them.
Well, the fact that Ride Along has made, you know, about 50, 70% more than The Big Short has. The Big Short is...
an infinitely better film.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
funny.
And it's quite funny.
At two.
Would you go so far as to say Irish audiences are being taken for a ride?
Or do you sold the film a little short?
At two, The Revenant.
I defy you make a pun about that.
Give me time. Give me a little leeway and I'll get there.
He was talking about films leaving him cold.
It's great. It's like if you want to see Leonardo DiCaprio play Wile E. Coyote, it's fantastic.
Or Bear Grylls.
<Yeah. laughs> I think of a day off on Monday, so I'm gonna have to catch him on the afternoon just to complete my head. It's an afternoon thing, though. I'm wasting evening on it.
You know, for a film that's got this praise, it's the least of the eight Best Picture nominees of the Oscars.
Least?
Yeah.
Wow. I am setting my expectation levels, which weren't particularly high.
Gloriously
it looks beautiful.
It's great. It is beautifully shot. But
Hardy and Poulter are good. DiCaprio is focused.
The score is fine, but
the bison
is unnecessary.
Oh, I love the score on its own. But as you say,
I think it would actually be better without the score at all.
Yeah, if it was just ambient noise with ambient light.
There are a few big problems with it. Number one, it's far too long.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, it's a good half an
hour.
That's
what pretty much everybody says.
This is 2.5 hours.
It's 2.5 hours of a guy chasing
suffering
after another
and
guy.
Chasing.
It's
and more suffering.
Which
that's
you know,
fine though.
No,
like,
nine,
I mean,
I put it in the
minutes,
man,
yeah.
Saying
jewel.
Life.
You would argue, like Mad Max is just the
it's straight back and straight back.
But that does
it
is much more verve.
Yeah, but it
has
more
verve
and fewer pretensions.
And it's
about
shorter
it.
As well.
Yeah,
which never hurts.
And it's. It takes every opportunity to call attention to its own craft, which it really, really should not do. It's a big, big mistake. I think Narita's, his direction on this, in and of itself, not necessarily bad. It's just applying bad methodology to the wrong material. It's carrying over that theatricality from Birdman to somewhere it doesn't belong.
If it's nominated for Best Editing, how long was it?
The original cut.
Didn't The Return of the King win Best Editing? Just to point that out, that being badly edited means nothing in Hollywood.
I'm going to be honest, piecing together those 11 endings took a lot of skill.
That's true.
I just think that there's a better film to be found in a shorter cut, frankly.
I think there is. Leo's, he's getting closer. Oh, what's going to attack him now? He's getting closer. What's going to attack him?
Where's that horse going?
No!
Yeah, what can possibly happen?
And what's he going to do to that? No!
But I like the fact that sort of like we've had a mini Western revival lately, but it's been wonderfully influenced by horror cinema. So you have obviously The Revenant at times feels like a survival horror to the point where you can almost imagine it as a zombie film. You have The Hateful Eight, which takes the theme of the thing and the premise of The Thing and uses it as a racial commentary.
And then you have Bone Home, which I haven't seen and heard nothing but good things about.
I have in my bag here to watch, so we may talk about it next week.
I might get to try to watch it as well.
Very excited as well, but I like the idea of sort of taking the Western, the iconic American myth, and twisting it into something horrible, something.
Well,
scary.
The Western's very malleable in that sense. You can do
meld it.
You can plot any kind of
fears or commentary and themes all the way through.
Yeah. I'm sure you have it in space. Star Wars to a large extent has elements of a western, last year we actually had a proper western.
Slow West was great. I actually really liked Slow West.
I liked it. I didn't love it as much as most people did, but I did like it.
And it had the best visual pun of the year
ever. One of the best ever. I choked. It was great. But so moving on.
Number one, Spotlight.
Speaking of bad direction.
Oh,
No.
I wanna hear Jay's take on this first.
It's fine. Like the film is it does the job completely. Everybody's kind of defense of this is because I've read it for this thing. Showy, fine. It's lets the story play out as opposed to being kind of selling it in any particular way.
Yeah.
But I whilst there's relatively speaking that's true, I think it's really, really messily directed. I think it's boring, it's flat. I just wanted something to happen. And a story that I actually have invested in, like I like the story, it's an interesting story, it's always a fascinating story. I felt the actors were for all intents and purposes badly directed. I think Ruffalo was really unsure of his character and pretty much all the way through it, and his big scene did nothing for me.
But it could have been you, Jay.
Yeah, but it
could have been any of us.
But the point of it is, the character wasn't there to deliver. Like it wasn't there, so I didn't care about that scene, and I should have.
Tony, who God?
As a film, I just thought it was a flat telling of an important story. A really flat telling.
I would agree to a certain extent, but I think the importance of the story, I think, carried it through.
I think
it requires a delicacy.
Yeah,
it requires a delicacy.
Yeah, but I think there's delicacy and there's going for lunch, and I think that's where we're at here. I don't think it's particularly.
I don't know. I think it is just about enough in the direction. Just
not
enough
for me.
I mean, there's a few interesting uses of framing. There's a
symbolism.
Yeah.
Like everything is framed against
a church.
Yeah. There's a church in the background.
There's one scene
and everything is crossing over, and
sometimes it's even less subtle. There's one room where they go into an archive, and somebody literally smells a rat.
I mean, yeah.
There are things like that where it doesn't quite work, but
and every kind of people interviewing people are just like standard over
straight
the shoulder
on,
shots
yeah.
over and I was bored
but,
by it
like
because I don't I
you can't stylize or render something like that subjectively.
You can do something.
You can do
anything. A good film, a better filmmaker can make more out of that. And I'm not talking whipping the camera. I'm not talking you have to feel a presence, a guiding hand of a filmmaker. And I did not feel that at all through this.
Tom McCarthy has more experience with characters who have a bit more. Well, I mean, they're fiction. He's more. This is a true story, so he's got more experience in fiction storytelling, and he's able to create characters a bit more from the script.
Like in The Cobbler.
Yeah,
like
a great example, The Cobbler. Adam Sandler's The Cobbler.
Maybe. I haven't seen it, but I'm thinking more along the lines of The Visitor or The Station Agent.
Yeah, I quite like Station Agent.
Yeah. Whereas this, I mean, he is a little bit constrained by, true events, and the events are important enough and interesting enough and complex enough and he's all together just enough to get through. And I think some of the supporting performances help lift it up a bit more.
I agree. Schreiber and Keaton for the most part.
Slattery too, I'd say.
And Tucci's always good.
Tucci's always good. And Tucci's always
good. You sort of take him for granted.
You take him for granted.
And you
should.
I love Billy Crudup and things.
But I just. No. I watched it and I was like. And it's kind of frustrated after watching it. I was like, I should have liked that. And I should have liked that a lot more than I did. And. No.
I did like it. I mean, I don't like it, but I admire the form.
And I think it makes sense.
The story, but it's a horrible thing.
No, it is. I mean, listen, that's the thing. I mean, it's an extraordinary story. Like, the kind of how used to it you are doesn't stop it from being still shocking
that's
in that regard.
I mean,
but
we got hit with it harder than any other nation.
Yeah.
I think if you stylize that, you would lose that. I think the matter-of-factness of it.
It's not. I'm not really talking about stylizing it, though. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I just think a better filmmaker makes a better film and makes the points and the beats and the hits that McCarthy tries to do, work but more, and I don't think they particularly worked. I think we're robbed of the anger and the rage that you should have felt in that film.
But I think McCarthy stands back and lets the points make themselves. Which
I think McCarthy stands back. All right, I definitely do.
Okay.
The following night, the night after I watched this, I watched All the President's Men again.
There you see, there's no contest, is there?
Wow,
I mean, it's
that's a film that has more
sure
and the cinematography.
Yeah,
and then that is a film that is just more aware of the historical
import of
its events. Yeah. Whereas Spotlight is perhaps a little too late to the game.
Will we be talking about Spotlight in the same time?
No,
but will we be talking about any Best Picture
not this
winner
year.
from this? You know,
no,
decade.
I suspect not. Well, this
12 Years a Slave, maybe.
Really? You think 12 Years a Slave is the breakout?
I don't know.
I think it's a great film. No, and I think Birdman's a great film as well.
Yeah.
But I don't think in terms of...
I'll have to think of that. It's an interesting question.
Yeah. But then again, why are you talking about the Oscars?
Yeah. I mean, how green is my valley? We still talk about that, right?
Yeah. There you go.
Ordinary people.
I like Ordinary People.
I know.
I went to watch Ordinary People for the first time a long time ago thinking... You bastard, you're being rageable. That's basically that. I sat down and watched that, and I was like, I love this.
Shakespeare.
I actually know, I was disgusted how much I love.
Over what?
Shakespeare.
Over anything nominated that year.
Shakespeare.
Thin
Red Line.
There you
go.
Hello, Malik. Here we go.
Whose favourite film is Zoolander, I found out this week, which is a nice segue into the.
Into what's coming out next week.
You know what? Zoolander, I've always thought, could easily have been a Malik film. Moisture. That sounds like a
compliment. I like Zoolander.
Wetness is the essence of beauty.
I like Zoolander.
I love Zoolander.
Right, and now this week, Zoolander 2 is coming out.
School for Ents? What?
Which ironically became an entire Marvel cinema.
It's previewing this weekend. It's out next week, but it's previewing this weekend. For really glamorous.
We haven't heard anything about it, have we, at all?
No, because the press screening is on
next
Tuesday.
This is very worrying.
The press screening's on Tuesday, but you can go see it. You can go pay for it this weekend.
Probably not going to do that.
I may be paying for it this weekend.
Yeah, I'm away. Otherwise, I'll
maybe all pay for it.
Don't we all?
Don't we all?
I'm
nervous. I'm very nervous.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, because Dumb and Dumber 2.
It's been too long.
Yeah,
we'll
see.
In terms of comedy sequels, what's Airplane 2 is probably the best comedy sequel I can think of.
Yeah.
So like you got Ghostbusters 2?
No.
You got the National Lampoon's European Vacation. Maybe. That's up there. See, this is what we're dealing with, people. So Zoolander 2 has a very low bar to clear.
That's true. Comedy sequels.
Yeah.
Let me think about that. We'll be back on Twitter later.
I'm going to go look for a list somewhere. Somebody will have done a list.
Of the best comedy sequels.
So we'll move on to Dad's Army.
Speaking of comedies, nobody really wants it. Anybody here fans the show?
I enjoyed it. I didn't watch it that often.
Who loves it?
He doesn't love the film.
No, he doesn't love the film.
But then again, I haven't seen anybody who does particularly.
I quite like the show.
But that said, they're not hating the show, the movie. They're just... it's not as good as it probably should have been. What are you two smiling at?
We're looking at the
Father of the Bride Part 2.
Crave's list of top 20.
I hate to say it, but that's actually maybe passable.
So we'll go down to Crave's top 20 comedy sequels. Right, so Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Yay. Yeah.
I quite like Clerks 2.
Clerks 2 is
I
good.
Love Clerks 2. Yeah. It's better than Clerks.
Father of the Bride Part 2.
No.
Is it?
A very Harold and Kumar 3D Christmas.
Okay.
I haven't seen it. I'll take
I've
your
I've seen
word
the first one, so I don't know.
Back to the Beach.
I haven't seen it.
What's that a sequel?
It's a sequel to Beach Blanket Bingo.
You're
Naked Gun 33 and
yes.
a Turn.
Yes.
I'll take any of them.
Is that the final insult?
Yeah.
He's got a good friend.
No. I'd go 2.5.
I'd go 2.5 too.
A Very Brady sequel.
Oh, that implies the Very Brady Bunch movie was...
Brady Bunch movie was okay.
Sorry, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yes.
There you go.
Call off the hounds.
We also have Wayne's World 2. I'm sure it was
excellent.
Wayne's World 2 is Wayne's World with Christopher Walken, which...
has a great...
It has a great Charlton Heston coming out of it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Or is that the first one?
No, that's the second one.
It is.
And it also has a nice nice Robert Patrick cameo as well.
Yeah.
Hot Shots Part 2.
It's better than Hot Shots, yeah.
Okay.
Ghostbusters 2?
No.
Anchorman 2? This is 40.
What? That's a kind of sequel.
It's a semi-sequel.
No sequel.
Wayne's World 2. Army of Darkness.
It's
a comedy sequel to a horror film.
Yeah.
Well, in fairness,
it's horror comedy, though.
Evil Dead 2 is more of a comedy.
I didn't scream too bad being here.
Yeah, that's
Monsters University.
Wait, what?
No.
Gremlins 2, the new
batch. That's good. I rewatched that recently.
Have you seen the Key and Peele sketch?
No.
It's fantastic. You should look it up. The Gremlins 2 sketch.
Featuring Christopher Lee as Dr. Catheter.
It's great, Gremlins 2.
And Hulk Hogan.
Bonkers. It's absolutely bonkers. It's balls to the wall madness. The second one.
Isn't it wonderful when people have the guts to do that? Oh, yeah. We miss you.
The Gremlins start singing on New Year's Day. The Muppets.
I want to watch that again.
The 2011 Muppets.
Yeah, okay.
It's
not
really
more of a reboot.
It's a reboot, but yeah.
But yeah.
Adam's Family Values.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. Let's go with that. Yeah. We're all doing the app.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Interesting choice.
For Chevy Chase's rant alone in the middle of that, yeah.
Toy Story 2.
You can't just put Toy Story. Yeah, because
then you put Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
A Shot in the Dark.
Yeah.
I need a Pink Panther sequel.
Really?
Well, not Steve Martin.
Or the one with Roberto Benigni.
So Zoolander has a...
I need Peter Sellers.
Has a moderately higher bar to clear now.
Yeah.
Will we be talking about it next week?
Yeah.
We'll see. Dad's Army Under End, we'll see. No, we don't care.
We'll pass.
Goosebumps, we talked about it earlier.
Who are you going to call? Goosebumps.
I'm interested.
No,
I don't,
not,
it's not
I'm
what
not.
I'm going to see from this week's films. It's not, it won't be the top one that I go see. Although, the next one might be. Because I'm really curious. It's Point Break, the remake. It's got to be terrible.
The sequel to a film most
people
do like
it's
Point Break.
Not very good.
He fired
can't
kill him.
But it's not good, though.
Well,
it's
screaming.
Just culty
Johnny
and weird.
Utah, come on.
It's not very good. Come on,
it's a great film.
I suspect this film will be young and dumb. Anything else...
Olivia Megaton that's directing it?
No, it's Eric...
Erickson Core.
Oh, that's it.
Which
the
is
other
the,
guy who
the
sounds
second,
like a mobile phone. Yeah.
The second greatest action movie director name. But after that, I'd be more interested in watching a film about the making of Point Break, the remake, than I would be actually watching
I'd
Point
like
Break.
I'd like the film that that is set in the marketing department.
Where's that Hateful Eight screener?
We've got this...
You're enjoying this too much.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
This, so it's come to this. Ray Winston's an FBI agent.
Oh, I'm sold.
If Jamie Winston was the FBI agent, I don't know if he'd be interested. But
Stan Winston was.
But it does. It looks like it takes itself far too seriously with the whole "we're giving money back to people" thing. No, it's about homoerotic surfing.
And president masks. Please say they kept the president masks.
I have no idea. Anyway, really good. Needs to be seen by absolutely everybody.
We're still talking about Point Break.
No. Iceland's entry for Oscar.
Rams. I've heard good things.
Yes. It's supposed to be very good.
It is very, very good.
I probably won't get a chance
to see it. It is the antithesis of everything I've read before.
It looks...
It's
beautifully strange.
Yeah, and it's actually quite funny. So
you sound surprised. The people of Iceland, I'll have you know, have a very keen sense of humor.
It's very dry, but it's good. Then,
much like Iceland itself.
Holy.
Then, Irish-Australian co-production, Strangerland.
With Nicole Kidman and Michael Jackson. I mean, Joseph... What the heck was that decision?
Oh, good Lord.
Joseph Fiennes playing Michael Jackson on a road trip with Liz Taylor and Brando.
It kind of sounds amazing.
Doesn't it?
It does. I hate the idea of it, yet I will be there to watch it.
This is.
I'd say it's a fine decision myself.
Yeah.
This is up there with the Ian Paisley.
Oh.
the road trip with Colomini and who?
And
Timothy
Small.
I see the poster and I was like, what the hell is this?
Ian and John's
take
big
all
vacation.
My money,
yeah.
Take it all at once. Take it all, sandwich.
I can't believe it's been a month.
Ulster
since
says go.
I'm in stitches.
No,
come on, Ulster says go.
Ulster says go is Fast and Furious 11. You're going to say it in bad fast.
No, 12 surely.
Oh, yeah. 12th July. Yes.
We should pitch this shit, man. Go on, let's pitch it.
Anyway,
just in case anyone has missed the news, they have scheduled Fast and Furious 9 and 10.
Well, they're doing a goodbye trilogy because the threads and
don't go past 10. What are you talking about?
The characters of Fast and Furious are so rich that they can't just be wrapped up in a single film, man.
You have to see one Fast and Furious movie.
5 and 6 are good.
I'm not saying that, and inferring that I will be either. I'm not inferring that at all.
But 6 has like a 200 mile long runway. It's fantastic.
Yes, yeah. Yes, it does.
So
what am I talking about? Next Christmas, I'm going to watch them all.
7 has an attacking helicopter. I'll watch the Star Wars shit.
My wife hasn't seen it.
The Rock at one point in the 7.
Oh,
just goes like this and breaks
the cast out of a cast. Yeah.
Must be better then.
The doctors do not recommend that's how you remove a cast.
Unless you're the Rock.
My mother's going in for surgery, I'll let her know.
Dan picks up a Gatling gun and starts firing it at a helicopter.
As you do.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. Anyway, we were talking about Stranger Land.
We got after a very rail. Stranger Land.
You brought that off the rail with Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I said, well, I had to. I mean, come on. No. I've seen Joseph Fiennes in some shit, but come on now.
Speaking of which.
So this is, and now, this is written by Michael Kinnearn's, who's Irish, he lives in Cork, and then we have Robbie Ryan is the
DP,
and so Robbie Ryan is great.
And you've got to think there's going to be some pretty shots.
Yeah, you're in Australia.
Like, I mean, you can't fail, really.
To be honest, the reviews have not been great.
No,
but they've the good word is about Robbie Ryan's cinematography. So
he's making some inroads, that chap.
Yeah, very much so. But I will try to catch this at some point, maybe.
He's DP in new Irish film, Scum Town, South by Southwest.
Which is
I'm not serious.
Oh yeah, another film.
It's Billy O'Brien.
I've heard you say that before. I still don't believe you.
Billy O'Brien is directing. It's set in Minnesota. It's got Christopher Lloyd in it.
Yeah, we couldn't.
Max
Records. Couldn't have got that into,
Christopher Lloyd in a serial killer movie.
It's an Irish film. Yeah, it's financed by the Irish Film Board.
Okay,
sounds
interesting.
Nick Ryan is producer on it.
Okay,
and Rory Robinson is the executive producer.
Ah, okay.
So yeah, Strangeland. I mean. I want to see because it's that Australian story of the outback and kids going missing and stuff. You know, it's just
at least hasn't been done to death. Anyway.
Yeah.
No, it sounds interesting enough. I've heard mixed things.
That dingbat's got your script.
That was a national tragedy.
Get there.
Disguised as a dude playing a dude.
See Stranger Land and you will wake in fright. No, that's not fair.
I do like waking fright.
Anyway, Trumbo, last film of the week.
Okay.
Continuing the TV movies prestige picture reunion thing we got.
It's
going
an
on.
Interesting
the TV
story.
Oscars happened this year.
No, it really is though. Yeah, it's like the kind of thing that you should see winning a best movie at the Emmys. It's HBO special.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, directed by Jay Roach, who has experience.
Done a couple of HBO specials.
Recount and Game Change. Change.
Yeah. Yeah. And Cranston's great.
Cranston's always great.
Yeah. And yeah, that's about it.
Yeah, I've got.
But it's an interesting story because
it's great.
Trumbo was blacklisted and under his office. Yeah.
Yeah. And a whole host of terrible B movies.
Yeah,
and
but Spartacus, no, we'll give him that. And Roman Holiday, yes.
Yeah. Which he got his Oscar for how many years later? 40?
Few.
Yeah.
I can't remember how many exactly, but yes.
It's ridiculous. That whole
era.
Nonsense that was going on. Like,
yeah, but if you want to see any occasion of that.
Hail Caesar!
Organize and good luck.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I can have a good night and good luck.
David
Strathairn. Absolute high. Christ, I love that.
God, I love David Strathairn.
Yeah, that's the thing though. Trumbo.
We're going to get audited this year.
Trumbo feels horribly outdated as far as metaphors go.
Like,
this is like a war on terror metaphor that arrived.
He's just great.
You know,
he's
6
good,
years
yeah,
too late.
Fine, right?
You know, like it feels like the kind of film. Feels like
very
the film Roach should have been doing when he was doing. Was doing Game Changer and Recount and stuff.
Yeah.
In that it's very much a Bush era sort of parable, and it's arriving now. It's just sort of.
Yeah, it's
all about The Big Short. Adam McKay got in there.
Indeed.
And we'll leave it there for the week.
Excellent.
/ month / whenever.
Yay.